This is PFW in progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW and Pride. Boy, it seems like a long time since we've done a show.
It's been a week.
It's been a week, Fred.
You know, no game, nothing. It's just a holiday in between. It just seems like
the off season.
It was last year that we did a show.
Wow, that's astute of you, Fred.
You know,
it was last year.
It's just a long time. Anyway, we're all here. Andy, Eric is here, who
no practice.
Breaks another record by saying something in the first 30 seconds
Fred,
of the show.
No practice report today.
No
sorry.
Practice report.
Sorry.
Okay, maybe we'll send you down, you know, to the Giants or something, and you can check them out.
No.
Paul's here.
Check them out.
Two Gender is behind the glass, and we're ready to roll.
Well, sort
with
of.
2009, so happy New Year, everybody.
And happy birthday
to Eric.
Eric's birthday. Little Eric Scalavino.
42?
That's
sorry.
Right.
No, that's way too high, Fred.
So what is it?
Guess.
Oh, come on.
Come on, guess.
Come on, just tell me.
No, just guess. Come on.
What are you, Diana Ross?
You have 2 hours
to your age.
Just guess.
38.
No. Younger.
I'm done.
You're done.
You're not younger than 38.
Yes, I am.
I can tell by the wrinkles on your hands.
Picture him with
dishpan
hair.
Dishpan hands.
Maybe if he had hair.
Dishpan hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, to do
the hair, you know,
you gotta compensate for that.
Get
lack
past
of hair.
The hair. We'll
get past the lack of hair
and all the right. Nose.
41.
The,
yeah, I just said 38 was too high.
I don't know. 35.
36.
36.
Yeah.
Congratulations, 36.
For making it this far.
Yeah.
With
as
all
Eric
of you,
Coach
yeah.
Belichick wanted to send a special message to you also.
Okay. What's up?
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
He worked for hours on that.
I'm sure he did.
Finding a happy and yep. A birthday. He really did a good job on that. Good, Dan.
Yeah. You know what he didn't do a good job on.
It's good to know the Kraft
lunch.
Dollars are well
damn checked. Lunch.
You dropped the ball on Eric's birthday lunch.
700 people Whoa. Offered lunch in December.
Way to go,
wait a minute. No one is buying Eric lunch
no
on his
one's
birthday?
Buying Eric
no,
lunch.
It's all Dan's fault.
That's unbelievable.
We had so many people lined up, they wanted to come in and get
that's
lunch.
That's what happens when you take vacation during
in the middle
the midst
of the season?
Of a playoff push.
Yeah, only the most important time of the year.
Not even a male stripper, nothing.
Wow,
he's just glaring.
Strippers,
at
do you deal with males as well as females?
No, it wouldn't be a good joke.
Eric could use a gorilla in a
what?
Stripper suit.
No.
Stripper
in a
gorilla
no,
suit.
No. Christina's here?
So we have a lot to talk about.
I swear, I'm 50-50. He plays stuff. I have no idea why he's playing this.
We have a lot to talk about, both Patriots and non-Patriots related. We got the playoffs to talk about, coaching movement. Patriots offseason speculative moves, what they're doing, what they might do.
What do you think with Pioli at this point, Freddie?
You know, it's funny because, you know, the whole report out of Cleveland was they're making a deadline. If he doesn't tell us today, it's off the table. And now he's mulling. Mm-hmm. Supposedly he talked to Kansas City today.
Yep. Yesterday.
Yesterday. So did I hear his voice today, by the way? I thought I did, outside my office.
In your head?
How the hell would I know what voices you're hearing?
Voices in the head, gotta go.
So we don't know. He's supposedly talked to Cleveland, and he's talked to Kansas City. Hmm.
And there was a report from somebody that he was excited about the Kansas City interview. And it also, I didn't know this, his wife was born there and has family there.
Oh.
Oh.
So there's a tie-in.
His wife being?
Bill Parcells'
daughter,
Dallas.
Dallas.
I didn't know where that was going. Yes. So why was
Bill
Parcells
was there?
I don't
at some
know.
Point.
Maybe the report's
Wichita
wrong.
State?
Yeah.
That's in,
I guess so.
In Kansas City.
It did say Wichita.
In Kansas?
Yeah.
Wichita.
Close to Missouri.
He did, she still has coach. Family there.
That would make sense.
He did coach at Wichita State.
That would make sense.
Huh. Okay.
So that, you know, that would be maybe a draw. Plus, I guess people are trying to allude to the fact that Hunt, now which one? Clark?
Clark.
Clark.
Is doing this very tight-lipped, closed, and that right. that might help
right.
if Pioli sees that type of operation rather than a out-in-public right. kind of operation like Cleveland has had.
Right.
$30 million in cap space they have.
Well, Mike Reese's analysis of the whole thing is that last time he kind of talked to the Giants and, you know, but this time he really might mean it. And he might really want to go rather than just investigating what's out there. He, you know, he might be ready to kind of take on a program, his own program. And he uses Dimitroff as kind of an example. He sees the success that he had and, you know.
Well, it certainly looks like he has his choices.
Yeah.
If he wants to leave.
Yeah. I'm surprised it's just Kansas City and Cleveland. I would think that other
and
teams.
Maybe not really Cleveland, because if Lerner is really in love with Mangini and Pioli doesn't want Mangini, that might not be an option at this point.
Or at least wants to be the one to make that decision.
The reports are Mangini is filling out a staff. That's his job.
Well,
for some reason, Randy Lerner is completely enamored with Eric Mangini.
Yeah, and I don't know why. But
I don't either.
But here's something that I think it was either CBS or NBC, ESPN brought it up on Sunday, and it made a lot of sense to me. Next year, you might have Cowher, Shanahan, Dungy, Holmgren, and who else. These are real names that might be available. And a lot of teams like the Cowboys might be saying, you know, we're going to get rid of this guy, but we're going to wait and get our pick of the guy that we really want. And I could see them making a big play to Tony Dungy. He's already had success working with a strong general manager.
They who, Fred?
The Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
The players like playing for him, you know, which is something that the Cowboys are always concerned with. He might be a great fit. And a lot of these teams, you know, might be saying, like Kansas City, we're not going to get rid of Herm Edwards this year because next year we might be able to get a Mike Shanahan or a Mike Holmgren.
But I thought Dungy wanted to stop coaching.
I don't think he would go to Dallas, personally.
I would think a lot less of him because I take him at face value, and I think that if he does decide to hang him up, I don't expect to see him come back.
Right.
Coach.
I mean, he's already in a great position.
There's
I mean,
a difference between coming back in 5 years and coming back tomorrow,
anyway.
Next year.
But now, Holmgren, by all indications, I think it's going to be a 1 year hiatus. Same with Shanahan, probably. A lot of those other guys that you mentioned, they're available now.
Right. Well,
I mean, Cowher, I mean, go out if you want him, go out and sign him.
Yeah, I mean, like in Dungy's case, it doesn't make sense. If he wanted to still coach, he should have stayed where he was.
You never know what a year off does, you know.
Yeah,
and I think
that could change things.
And
no,
I think
no
I think
Dallas?
These owners feel, hey, I'll get what I want. They're used to getting what they want, and you throw a lot of money at a guy, set up his family, make sure you give him a decent contract, 5 years or whatever.
But Paul and I were talking about it. If there's any case for young coaches, it's this year because all the first-time coaches had a lot of success.
That's what I would.
That's an argument for Josh McDaniels and Spagnuolo and whoever else some of the young candidates are. Those guys were very successful.
First-time guys, but they weren't necessarily young guys. They're guys who've been around for a while.
Mike Smith
isn't young.
Harbaugh is young.
But I mean,
Mike Smith's not that old, is he?
He looks old.
He looks like
Zorn's not that old either.
Mike Smith has white hair, but I don't think he's old.
And I mean, I don't know how old they are, but they were all relatively obscure,
right?
But
I mean, they can't be more than early 40s,
you know. And with Sperano and Zorn and Harbaugh, now Mike Smith was the coordinator, correct? So he was the only one that was seemingly at the next step, you know, the one step away. But I just look at that and the success. I think Andy's right. I mean, I would look that direction rather than a retread. Now,
plus you save like $5 million a year or something.
Well, that's another part of it too, and especially
the number keeps going up.
If you know all this talk about the economy and whatnot hitting these teams and these owners, I don't buy it. I don't buy any of it. I think it's all a bunch of nonsense. I think they have all the money that they need. They're just a little upset that maybe the profit margins aren't quite where they want them to be. But Jerry Jones, you're trying to tell me he can't hire Bill Cowher, he can't write an open check. I mean, that's what people are saying.
Yeah, but Jerry Jones doesn't want a guy who wants all the power. Jerry Jones wants a guy who has a track record of working well with a strong GM. That's Tony Dungy.
But
let me know
also,
when the Cowboys get a strong GM.
But they're also
he believes he is the guy.
But Polian,
I mean, I think Dungy works well with Polian because Polian's a good football
exactly.
guy. Right. I don't think Dungy has any interest in working with a clown show like
it could be.
Jones.
Drew Brees, offensive player of the year. I've also read stuff about Mike Smith is 50. You're trying to tell us they're two gender. Why don't you get us a birthday lunch for Eric now and go and do something useful?
Christ's sakes, useless people.
So
I think that's good info.
Jerry Jones.
I think lunch would be better.
It would be.
A lot of people are talking about he doesn't have the capital and he's worried about getting that stadium filled and the corporate sponsors. I think it's all a bunch of crap.
He's going to fill the stadium.
Yeah, I don't think
that's crap.
I don't think it's
that stadium's $1.3 billion.
He doesn't have
$1.3 billion.
He's going to fill the stadium.
No, but isn't the issue that he missed his mark with? Doesn't he have like some ridiculous number of luxury suites?
Yeah, yes. He has to renegotiate.
But I mean, even in the great times, were there enough companies to fill all those in that area?
Well, they had the Texas Stadium were very small, but they had over 300 of them.
A lot of the oil companies.
Gillette Stadium, they have 80.
Right, but some of those were probably there for a long time.
A lot of money in
Texas. I'm guessing he's not selling suites for like $50 a game.
No.
My guess is they're very expensive.
Yeah, no.
So that not just Joe Schmo off the street, you know, small chimney sweep company
I think
can come in and buy
not only that, he's
a lot of money
in Texas. He's got a club section he never, you know, had before. He's got to sell that. You know, the sponsorships within the bowl and outside the stadium. He's also doing retail in, living.
Cowboy
space,
place?
Condominiums.
My heart bleeds for him.
Which, this is not the time to be doing that, as we've seen.
Well, you know what I say about the six P's?
What's that?
Prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
Well, you know. Okay, so
that's,
then the whole country.
Six P's, actually.
The whole country violated
that.
Six
P's.
You said five.
I said six.
Six.
You know.
Suck face.
So no, he believe me, he's
five.
Not.
Five, six.
He's not, you know, free and easy when it comes to building this thing. He's got a lot of financial pressure.
But he's free and easy. I mean, worst case scenario, he takes his millions and goes home and loses the team. I mean, that's the worst case for him.
No, I understand.
He's not going to be
he's
living.
He's not going to be home.
I'm not going to drive under an overpass and he's going to have a
He can't afford a new coach. That's why he's sticking with Wade Phillips.
And now there's reports that they want Jason Garrett to get one of these jobs. They're actually pulling for.
If I were them, I would
him
be.
To get the hell out of town.
He flamed out. That's why you take the job when you get the opportunity. You never know what's going to happen.
Because a bird in the hand.
Well,
you never know what's going to happen.
I mean, the Cowboys should have given him the job when they wanted to give him the job.
You're right, Paul. It's a perfect example of
Eric Mangini.
Now. Garrett could, he's the perfect example of he should have taken a job when he could have got one, and he should not have been projected as the future head coach because things change.
Right.
So both sides erred on that one.
Yeah. And if you're going to project him as the future head coach, why not just give him the head coaching job at that moment?
I don't want
instead
any
of bringing in a retread
the
like Wade Phillips, who
that monkey jumping around the sidelines on Texas. Did you see him last night?
No.
I can't believe Bill respects him. The guy just goes.
He must
ballistic.
Be a great coach because the way he acts on the sideline is so anti-Bill.
I mean, we think Greg Williams was a joke when he would do the fist pumping after blitzes.
I hate him.
He takes it to a whole nother level, and he's the future head coach
of Texas
football.
He sacked Bledsoe about 27 times that game.
Oh, I saw him.
I hate him.
Yeah.
And Bill clearly respects his coaching ability, so he must be an otherworldly coach for Bill to look past
the
antics. Yeah.
Locally, we got this Jack Ojinski guy. Mm-hmm. Who,
this is a fascinating story.
Who has been the BC football coach for 2 years and has now been offered an interview with the Jets, and they're telling him at BC, if you go to the interview, we're going to fire you.
Right. Hmm. Supposedly today, this morning.
And this guy's getting skewered here. I don't see why. Your profession is coaching.
Right.
It's very simple. Why do you think he's getting skewered? Who do the guys that are skewering him talk to?
The AD at BC.
So they're obviously taking
his
side.
But it's completely unfair because his profession is being a head coach in football. He's being offered a job in the elite. Why not talk to them?
But what if he had a specific agreement, I won't leave for 3 years, I won't do this, I won't. What if there were specific parameters when he was hired?
Or what if it's a team other than the Jets? That was offering him the interview, like the Broncos, let's say.
I don't see why that
has
a deal.
I don't think the team has anything to do with for BC.
Yeah.
Just saying, maybe the people who are skewering him in the media are doing it because of...
I think it's got to do with their relationships with DeFilippo.
Yeah.
Now, I think Andy brings up a good point. We talked about this yesterday as well. There's got to be something that we don't know. There has to be either a provision in the contract... Maybe a verbal agreement that they made, shook hands.
Well, then
something
they're not going to be liable to pay him if he leaves. Or, I mean, if they fire him.
Well, they probably will be liable to pay
him. But if he breached the contract.
But what if
it's
just
an agreement? I don't think he'd be doing it.
Yeah, what if it's, I went to bat for you.
But if he said something to them, and he feels, and that's why DeFilippo is flipping out. He feels like he was had.
Right. And Fred, you're a big believer in the value of the word.
But I know. But a lot of people say, oh, what about the kids that, you know, came there to play for him? And but any kid that goes to a college because of the coach right now has to think twice. Go for the institution.
Right.
Because these coaches come and go. I'll give you an example, even in a lower level. My kid went to an open house at King Philip High School. And this guy, Coach Lee, you know, has a great roots.
Name out there.
His father was the head coach of Walpole, you know, a lot of success. Now he's turned around.
The general?
Yeah.
John Lee?
They call him General Lee. He's turned around the King Philip program. And so he has this open house about how the program is. Now Danny Villa has his problems in Walpole. I don't know if you heard about that, obviously. He's gone. And now there's rumors that this guy might move from KP over to Walpole. You know, and all the kids would be like, oh, well, you know what? That's life. That's life. These guys move around. They go for the next job, and shouldn't they? I mean, isn't that what they've chosen to do?
Yeah, you know? But unless they have a specific agreement with the person who hired them
or
something.
Again, if it's any more than just an oral agreement, which, by the way, hold up in court, then this guy, if this
oral agreements hold up in court?
Sometimes they do, yeah.
If he just said, hey, I'm going to go to bat for you, you need to promise me you'll stay for 3 years, and he says, okay, I'll stay for 3 years.
They can hold up in court.
Holy crap.
They can hold up in court. So unless this guy is breaching a contract, I don't know why anyone's surprised if an NFL team says, hey, we'd like you to come interview.
See, I think he wants out. I think
I agree with you, Fred, that I'm surprised that people are up in arms about it, but I also – It's just because that they're all scumbags that we've kind of become sort of immune to it. I mean, Bobby Petrino and all these kinds of things.
But except for if he does have a contract that he's breaching, but why is he a scumbag? If let's just say
because it's not right. No matter which way you spin it, it's not right.
Why isn't
he came there for a 5-year contract and he's leaving after two? There's nothing right about it.
But
there's nothing right about it.
I mean. How can
and
he get not, out of the contract?
And he's not
then?
Getting. And can we also all agree that he's not getting the head coaching job for the New York Jets?
Well, that's why I think he wants out. I
you
think
don't
they
know?
Must have a terrible.
I don't
relationship.
Know. Why are they interviewing him? Why did they all of a sudden? Why did he become on
Andy,
come on their radar?
Finish your point, Andy, because I think what? you're hitting the what nail right in the head. He's got something lined up.
Something
well,
else.
Yeah, I just
something
think, else.
Yeah, he's got something lined up, and I don't think he wants to be a BC anymore. So
he's using this as a.
He's
going to
end up as a coordinator at the most. At the NFL level.
Right.
They don't even know who Jeff Jagodzinski is.
So how did this come about? Why are the Jets giving him an interview?
He must know somebody, and they're taking care of him.
Well, he clearly knows Favre. I mean, that's the obvious connection, but it could go beyond that. Who knows?
But I don't think that he's right. I don't think that the school is right. I mean, I guess I applaud the school for not just sitting there and taking it and standing up for themselves, but in the end, it's just, you know, the same thing happened in Northeastern. They lost a coach, same kind of way. They fought it. They won. But you don't win anything.
You don't.
I mean, it's admirable that you just don't sit there and take it, but in the long run, it really doesn't do you a whole lot of good.
You don't want a guy there that doesn't want to be there.
But as BC, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? Because to me, this is what you are. You're a stepping stone school.
They are a stepping stone school.
If you want to be more than that, okay, lower your academic standards. Do whatever you need to do to become USC or a football powerhouse, and I guarantee you guys won't be leaving. You're paying $4 million a year. You're doing all the things, but... if you're going to be what you've kind of built, you need to expect people are going to come for a couple of years, build their own resume, and move on because you don't provide them what they want.
Yeah,
I see your point, Fred, about you know the guys, that's their job, and they have a right to take care of themselves and try to look for another opportunity. The thing I don't like that most of them do is at the college level, excuse me, they go to their recruits or their younger guys and say, don't you worry, I'm going to be here, I'm committed, this and that, and then 2 days later, they're out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make those kind of promises to
Well, that's why kids need to also look out for themselves.
Well, yeah.
Don't listen to these guys when they say
that. A lot of
them
do. A lot of them are smart enough.
Go for the institution, not for the coach.
That's why you see so much transferring, too,
right?
Because they know that they need to find what works for them.
Right.
You know, like the kid, the hotshot quarterback for Arkansas, you know, he ends up bouncing around and going to different places. He ended up at USC. You know, it just didn't make any sense for him to be there. You know, with all that turmoil down at Arkansas. Now he's one of Pete's backups, Mitch Mustaine, I think his name is. He may never play. I mean, Sanchez will be back next year. He may never even get a chance to play. But, you know, I agree and I understand about the uproar on both sides. But I don't really think there's a whole lot to do about it.
There's probably more to it than we know.
There's definitely more to it than we know.
You know?
Probably part on DeFilippo's side with was saying about he had a handshake agreement at the very least. Maybe it was more than that. And on Andy's point about Jagosinski probably just wants out of BC and is looking to use this as an opportunity to get out of BC and then go somewhere else. It's probably as simple as that. But at the same time, most schools take it because if a guy wants to leave, why are you going to fight to keep him?
Right. Yeah. Right.
You don't want that guy coaching your team.
Right.
It's too important. It's not like
his mind is
elsewhere. It's not like the real world where, you know, someone has a job, you know, as an accountant, and they have an opportunity to go somewhere else, and the team, you're going to fight to keep. Well, that guy's got to do his job to the best of his ability, or he's not going to be able to get another job.
Right.
Well, a coach, you know, is going to have his resume there, and then if it falls apart, everybody's going to say, well, clearly his mind wasn't there. He wanted out.
And especially at the college level, in the pro level, at least you can just coach. You show up, you know, Mike Martz doesn't get along with Singletary. He still shows up, he calls plays, but at college, it's boosters and fundraisers and shaking hands and kissing babies. And, I mean, you're sort of the face of the athletic program, and you're part of that whole financial, you know.
Yeah, you have to play the part or else you're not going to.
If you get pissy and you're not
attending events. That's why they're so mad at
and
Charlie Weiss.
Right.
You know?
Well, they're also, they wouldn't be mad if he was winning games.
Right.
Bottom line there is if they were in the BCS title game.
They weren't so mad at him in year one.
Right. It's all about winning.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is John from L.A. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Great.
Good. Good to hear you're buying lunch. Two Gender just told us.
Did I say that? Sometime soon.
Okay. Wow. I'll pencil you in for around 12:40.
So you guys talk about Castle and franchising at all today.
Sure.
Sure.
What do you want to talk about?
I think it's a no-brainer. I think even he's not going to stay here. He doesn't want to stay here long-term. He shouldn't. And even if Brady's out for the entire 2009 season, I still don't think it's that appealing a prospect for Castle. He's never going to be more highly valued. You know, one more year goes by, maybe he gets hurt, maybe, I don't know.
Maybe he wins the Super Bowl. Maybe he is more highly valued.
He could be more highly valued, but I agree with your first point that this is never going to be the place for him unless Tom Brady is 100% gone, no longer a member of the franchise.
I think there's no bad blood. There's great blood between him and the front office. I think there's absolutely no question that they deal him. I think there's pretty much no question that they find someone to give them a number one or, say, Detroit's number two this year and their number two next year if they did that.
And I think that's
I don't
why
think it's even a question.
That's why this has been put out there so early, so the offers can be sent in.
Mm-hmm. I don't think
really don't think it is a question, though. I think pretty much all sides are already pointing to the fact that it's done.
I mean, look, hey, Matt, worst case, you're going to make between $14 and $15 million to sit the bench this year. But this is what we'd like to do. We'd like to trade you. If we trade you, you're going to renegotiate with that other team and get a really nice starting quarterback contract, and everything will be great.
But don't you think that's why it's out there now? Because they do want to trade him? If they really wanted to keep him, if they needed the insurance policy, then they would have just franchised him on February
5th, I think.
5th, whatever the date is.
That started,
by it being out there this early, all 31 other teams are well aware Patriots are franchising him, most likely with the intent to try to trade him at some point. We should start to research it, what we're going to offer, what we can do. I think this is part of the process.
I don't think it hurts to get it out there.
No, I think it helps.
You know, but getting it out there, what does that mean? I mean, people were going to speculate that was what they were going to do.
Mike Lombardi said definitively they're going to franchise him, and somebody told him, or he spoke with someone.
No, he said because they're smart, I know them, and they'll do it.
Now, I didn't hear it.
He'd spoken to people in the organization.
That's what I read, that he'd spoken to people within the organization.
What I read is he said they're too smart not to do that.
I read that
I
too.
Think he said that too, but
I've talked to people.
Okay, well, he's talked to people and in the organization.
That's what he said.
Just people.
In the organization. And we know Al Davis thinks he and Belichick.
It could be
like
Ken
this.
Flanders. Maybe Ken picked up his phone. And
I doubt it.
He never picks up his phone.
Well, for Mike Lombardi, he might.
The worst case scenario: Brady gets a setback. He starts on the PUP list and. You know, you go with O'Connell, and you know, who's saying he's going to be as quick on the uptake as Matt Castle was after being, behind Brady for 4 years? But I still think next year, with him preparing, they would, in that scenario, they would be preparing for Brady to be gone, not having
right.
him.
Right, and that's the big difference. Yep. And I also think that might affect what they do in the offseason in terms of a veteran.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
yeah.
you're going into it knowing that Brady
there's a question mark.
Is a question yeah. mark, whereas you didn't have that in the past.
Well, let me throw this out there. Patriots franchise castle, okay? If you're going to now trade him, what do you think the minimum the Patriots would accept for that? And does what they're willing to accept tell you how confident they are in Brady coming back? In other words, you franchise him and you shoot for the moon because you're still not sure. You really don't want to have him leave because you're not sure about Brady. Or, hey, I'll take a first and a third because I'm pretty sure that Brady's going to come back.
I think you should take whatever you can get no matter
what
you think
about Brady.
First
and a third is settling?
Yeah, I think so.
Get a first and,
I think that's a lot.
With a first and a third.
I think first and a third is upside. That's pretty much as much as you can hope for.
Well, if they take a franchise player, they have to give you two firsts.
Right.
If they just
sign
him.
They sign him, yeah.
You're not going to get more than that.
No, first and a third, I'm saying. That's less than that.
Yeah, but that's...
But that's the moon.
That's pretty high.
That is shooting for the moon. That's what Jared Allen got.
Yeah.
Well, I think a starting quarterback in the NFL is more valuable than Jared Allen.
Well, he was
Jared Allen's a multiple Pro Bowl.
Yeah, he's far more proven. As much as I think he's overrated, he's far more proven than Matt Cassel.
No, but I see Fred's point. There are teams that are desperate enough that they might say, "Hey, we just need a starting quarterback."
Well, you can shoot for 7 first round picks.
I think a first and a third is logical.
Yeah,
but I think that's the moon. I don't think that's settling. Do you? A first and a third round pick?
No, it's not settling.
For a guy who's played 16 games?
No, not settling. But I'm saying there are teams out there who might look at that and say, oh, they might be willing to give up maybe more than that because they're so desperate.
I think there might be some teams that would.
Maybe.
Sure, you go for it. You go for it.
I mean, the answer to the easy answer to your question is the best that you can get. I mean, if someone.
No matter what.
Do the Patriots
absolutely,
settle?
Whatever you can get. If the best offer is a third-round pick. And you've chopped them to every team, and the best you got is a third-round pick, you take it. Because to me, it's all about the cap dollars. If you wanted to keep them both, if you wanted to franchise them and keep them, you'd do it. If you were worried about Brady. I don't think they really want that. Now, maybe they do. Maybe they're concerned enough about Brady. They want to make sure they have Castle, and they don't care about $28 or $29 million on the cap for their quarterbacks.
Well, that's why I'm saying...
I would.
We don't know the answer to that question. How much are they worried about Brady?
But I'm saying I don't care about... For me personally, yeah. Brady doesn't factor into the equation. I don't want Castle back unless, like Andy pointed out, the 1% that Brady never plays again, and they know that.
See, I think if the Patriots make high demands, they are worried about Brady.
No, that's not right. If the Patriots give up not that much, like get not that much for him, it means
what?
Well, I know. No, I see what you mean.
See what I'm saying?
Wow, yeah. Logic unfolding right here on PFW Progress. Well done, John.
But they're going to use that. They're going to ask for a lot based on your philosophy.
Yeah, it's what they settle on.
That's why. Right. Well,
if they settle for three firsts,
it points to anything.
I agree with Fred.
I just think get what you can get for him, regardless of what you think about Brady.
Just get
what you can get
for
him.
Well, see, I don't know about that. I mean, what if all you can get is a fifth?
It's still more than zero.
Better than paying $14 million for a guy who's not going to play.
You're not just going to get a fifth after what this kid did this year. There was talk that not only should he have been in the Pro Bowl, some people were talking that he could have won NFL MVP this year. You're not going to get a fifth. Fred.
Besides Fred,
it might have been Fred, John.
Yeah. Who exactly was saying that?
Fred, Mrs. Castle.
No, but he should have at least. There's a lot of talk that he should have at least made the Pro Bowl this year.
He should have,
over Brett Favre.
He had a chance to make the Pro Bowl.
You're going to get more than a fifth for an offer for him.
I would hope so.
Of course, you're going to get more than that.
But what if teams, kind of stick it to the Patriots and say, we know they don't really want to pay him $14 million, so let's
But they're not
low.
Going to because there's enough teams involved that they're going to worry that someone else,
exactly.
You need a quarterback,
there's a bidding war.
He's good,
right.
And you don't want the Chiefs to get him if you're the Lions, or you don't want the Lions to get him if you're the Chiefs.
It's not like
if he's on the open market, anyone can get
him.
If you're a trading partner, you control it.
There's more than one buyer out there. Market forces will determine it, and it'll just make the price go up.
You think Chicago wants to see Minnesota get Castle? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, teams like that, where they're in the same division.
And both
have
teams.
Similar needs.
I would put them on both teams.
But how can Chicago prevent it?
By offering more than Minnesota might, is what John's saying, right? Is that what you're saying,
Minnesota
John?
Would be a good fit.
Minnesota's the fit. I don't think Chicago.
Why not Chicago?
A little bit of a fit.
I think Orton? I think they have a guy that they feel good about.
Well, they're not going to say they don't, but do they really?
I think they have
Orton?
A guy.
I
think he was having a terrific season until he hurt his ankle.
Orton, you mean? Orton.
10 games into the season, I think he was playing every bit as well as Matt Cassel. And then he hurt his ankle, and he was not the same the last 5 or 6 games.
I mean, Cassel would love to. Wouldn't you, if you were Cassel, love to have Adrian Peterson in your backfield?
Absolutely.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Don't you think Cassel, besides just the stats and the production and stuff, I think that what goes along to make teams maybe want him is he's in an environment where the only thing acceptable is winning, which we didn't do, but, you know, for the most he could do, he did. He's playing in sort of playoff-ish circumstances, under pressure, in bad conditions weather-wise, and in bad conditions just, like, emotionally and psychically on that team. I think there's a lot to him besides just the numbers.
I would agree. I mean, I think he handled himself as well as could be expected in every way this season.
I mean, this guy is all-American Joe. I mean,
you don't have to sell me. I love
plumber. He's married. Yeah. He's, you know, a nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's shown that he's patient and not a prima donna in the fact that he's sat behind players all his college and pro career up until last year. And, you know,
he performed when
why wouldn't you want this guy?
He came on PNW in progress.
Right.
If for no other reason than
love him.
Right.
I like the angle Fred's taking with the fact that his value is even more because he's married.
Sure.
If he gets
actually
divorced,
hurts his value, doesn't it?
Give him a pick back.
What? If he gets divorced, do we have to give a pick back?
Conditional pick.
How long are we going here, Dan?
All right, John. See you. All right, John in L.A.
Thanks for lunch. It'll be charged to your
not
account.
Not buying lunch, but
PayPal.
Another one I want to bring up is
the show off in there.
Is Teddy Bruschi said if the Patriots have him, he'll want to come back. And one of our emailers writes in, and it is Pete from Hoboken.
From the Boken.
Home of Arthur's.
Oh.
The great restaurant of Hoboken.
The big salad.
The wedge.
It's a wedge.
The wedge.
They just cut a slice of lettuce. And
the big steaks. They were doing wedges before people did wedges. Now every menu
now everybody
has
does
a
wedges.
Blue cheese wedge. They did it before anyone.
Why would you order a wedge of lettuce?
It's on every menu now.
Yeah, I don't get why you'd order it from any menu. Never mind every menu.
I know this comes as a surprise. I don't get a lot of salads.
It's got blue cheese. It's got bacon.
But if I
mix in a salad.
If you order a wedge of lettuce, the dressing at best is over the top of it.
Yeah.
So
and on the sides.
But in the center of it, there's all this lettuce that's not touching dressing.
No, you break it up.
And no one likes lettuce. I don't care who you are. You only eat a salad to get the other stuff that's
attached. In the
wedge, salads have ceilings, you know.
In the wedge, Christ, yeah. In the wedge salads, there's always enough dressing for the last bite. And I'm with you.
In the center, down the
You break it up. And
well, then why are you ordering a wedge? Just ask for a salad.
The dressing is
this
all
might
over
be one
the
of the
plate.
The most ridiculous argument ever.
Wait.
Show.
As soon as you get the wedge, you break it up.
Sometimes.
What's the point of the wedge?
You cut off pieces.
Why don't they just break it up for you in the kitchen and call it a salad?
It's more fresh. It's fresh. Because
if they break it in the kitchen, it's fresher than
Exactly. Once they break it up, the oxygen gets to the inner lettuce.
Somebody buy
starts,
us lunch.
It
These
starts,
guys are arguing about lettuce.
No.
Bleep.
It starts,
you have no idea what you're talking about.
It starts to deteriorate from that moment. But you keep it as one piece, it doesn't go bad as quickly.
I pointed out the idiocy of the wedge. Thank you very much.
Well, it's on every menu now, so you're the only one that's figured it out.
There's a lot of things that are on every menu that aren't good.
Yeah. TG, I think it was TG who wrote in, you want us to do 3 shows a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, now what did Pete from Hoboken, home of Arthur's, have to say?
He says, I was listening to the Gerard Mayo conference call on Patriots.com, and Mayo seemed to heap a lot of praise on Teddy Bruschi. He said that Bruschi was one of the first Patriots to welcome him to the team.
Mayo!
And Bruschi was like a brother and mentor to Mayo throughout his Rookie of the Year season. Mayo's praise of Bruschi seems completely at odds with some observations and opinions expressed on the PFW and Progress show. I know that some of these comments were made by he who should not be named. However, I seem to remember Andy talking about Bruschi ignoring rookie linebackers and giving them the cold shoulder. I assume Mayo would have no reason to misrepresent Bruschi since the season is over and Bruschi may not return next season. So has Bruschi pulled a 180 in his treatment of rookie linebackers, or were certain PFW and Progress members guilty of slandering one of the greatest linebackers in Patriots history?
These things really are huge.
Well, I think he's treated Mayo differently than he's treated pretty much every other linebacker that's come. And we talked about that from day one when he was raving about his relationship with Mayo and how professional he was and how impressed he was and all of that.
It didn't have anything to do with rookies either.
No.
Guys like Monty Beisel and
Chad Brown.
Brown.
Brewski didn't always get
along
well.
I don't think he
doesn't like guys who don't contribute.
Now, to be, I was going to say, to be fair, those guys didn't fit in well and may not have been getting here at 6 a.m. and may. So,
and they also
I'm not
came
placing
in,
all the blame on Brewski.
They also came in the year that Brewski had the stroke and was out for the 6 weeks on PUP, and they probably felt a little resentment. Beisel, I think, more so than Chad Brown, a little resentment to the fact that Brewski was like the white knight coming in to save the season, and when it didn't turn out that way, I'm sure there was some resentment.
Didn't Vrabel have some problems with Beisel?
Well, Vrabel had problems with Brewski, according to Brewski in his book.
Oh, in his book. Okay.
That's because Vrabel played the role of Andy Hart.
Right.
Said, does this mean but they give you strokes now?
They certainly have moved past that, and they're as tight as they've been in the past too.
But that was
in Brewski's
purely,
book, so that's not speculation from him.
And it was
shall
purely ball
named.
Busting. It wasn't.
Right.
Now, why does Brewski come out at this time and say, "I want to come back"? Is there any strategic reason for that, or is it just him being open with someone who asked?
I think it's just him being honest.
I think he might have been asked, and they just answered the question.
I think we all speculated he'd be back, though, right? Like,
kind
of the way he said it. If they'll have him, he'll want to come back.
I'm a little disappointed, to be honest with you.
Why?
I want them to get another Gerard Mayo. I want them to try
to get more defense
in the draft.
But he's a part-time
player. If he's on the team, I don't think that's a good sign.
I don't think him coming back means they won't get another Gerard Mayo.
I think he's a part-time player.
He'd be a depth. He'd be
playing that part-time.
He's depth. I mean, I'd rather have him on the bench than a lot of other guys that they could get. You know?
I would agree.
Yeah. As depth, not as the starter next to Mayo.
Maybe not. You know, hopefully you can upgrade that position, and if that's the case, he is depth. But until why get rid of him at this point?
Right.
You know.
Well, if he's back, he's back. I find it hard to believe they're going to cut him on August 31st and just kick him out.
Right. He's not. His contract isn't that big. It's not a money issue.
I just think in terms of knowledge of the defense,
absolutely
can still contribute on first down.
He's got a lot of hot.
Well, that I don't really care about. Paul's angry over there.
I'm trying to turn over a new leaf.
It's going
to
be a tough off season for you, Paul.
If Josh goes, I'll be bummed out about that.
Yeah, I want Josh McDaniels to stay.
I really don't care about much of the other stuff.
Because I think he's
like
going to be a good head coach.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm rooting for Josh McDaniels.
I feel like Costanza. I'm having like
a
rambling.
But don't you think Josh now relieves Bill of at least some things to think about? Paul, like, he trusts Josh enough to kind of...
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I think if you lose him, you're going to lose a lot.
I agree. But I'm rooting for Josh McDaniels because I like him, and I think he's going to be a good head coach, and I want him to
get but his time will come. He's 33 years old.
I agree with Andy that... It would be a big loss.
Give us one more year because Moss has one more year on his contract.
Two more.
He has two more after this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Signed a
three-year
deal.
Josh, sorry.
Oh, but the third one is an option for the Patriots or something like that?
I don't think so.
Either.
Signed a three-year deal. $327 million, right?
Great cash, homie.
Unless Fred knows something we don't.
Well, yeah, that's always a possibility.
Well, anyway, Moss is back next year.
Jesus.
From vacation.
I'd like to keep the system the way it is with McDaniels and Brady coming back, hopefully, in the offensive line. Maybe Maroney can come back and do something. I don't know. But at the very least, you got Morris for another year.
I'm happy with the running situation the way it is, even if Maroney doesn't ever turn out to be what we thought he was going to be. Because with Morris, they showed this year, they can do the committee thing.
Yeah.
And with Morris and Maroney, with Falk still around, even though he's diminishing.
That might be right next year.
And even throwing,
eventually you'll be right.
You know, it sounds silly, but, if you replace Lamont Jordan – In his, 80 carries with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Or a veteran.
Or somebody else.
Yeah. The free agent list is littered with
backup
name vets. Right. Well, guys who were once names but are now probably backups that you get your pick of. They're here in April. They learn the system, all that.
So I think your running game can be fine. It was very productive for the most part this year, especially in the last, three or four games.
So I just like to keep things the way they are for another season.
No, I know, but. Well, I'm kind of rooting for, I think Denver's a pretty good job for
selfishly,
an offensive minded
I'm
coach.
Rooting for it to stay the way it is.
Fred. I think they spend money. I think it's a great community, like a nice area.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good fit for him.
It might end up that way.
Head coach at Denver, huh?
No, it might end up that he doesn't get an offer.
I was cleaning up my closet. I came across my Mecklenburg jersey the other day.
The 7 under one pit and the other 7 under the other pit.
Did you try it on?
No.
Did you throw it out?
No. Are you kidding me?
Somebody asked a Mecklenburg question recently, one of the last press conferences.
Yeah. Someone asked if
Vrabel to Mike
Carl Mecklenburg.
Seau compared Vrabel to Mecklenburg, and then somebody asked Bill about it. He said, "I don't know. Junior knows more about that."
And I never coached Mecklenburg.
Yeah,
strictly struck me as one of those, hey, here's another white linebacker. Does he remind you of him?
So yes or no question, you own more Broncos jerseys than Patriots jerseys.
No, no, that's not true at all.
I've never seen you in a Patriots jersey.
I actually have a Ty Law jersey.
And you own more Steelers jerseys than Patriots jerseys.
Yes, that's true.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, so
not true for me.
Not really true. I have a Stanley Morgan jersey from way back when.
Do you?
So
I have a Tippett jersey.
How could you possibly have a Stanley Morgan jersey?
I don't understand the question.
He played in like the 80s. How could you still have a shirt?
I was a big fan.
He came in one of those boxes. He gets the shoes.
Is it like Shmemmy Shane shirt?
Yeah.
Shane's Irving
the
Pryor
shoulder
shirt
or the sleeve stripes?
It's not a real. It's red.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. I think it might have come
That's
in one
Irving
of those
Pryor
Hutch
shirt
sets
was.
With the pants and the helmet.
I can't. How could you still have that? That's my point right there. One of those Hutch sets that a 12-year-old would buy. And you still have it?
The helmet clearly didn't fit back then either.
Probably not.
No.
I have two.
But, so
I
yeah,
have two
I'm
Patriots
on even
shirts.
Ground. I have a Steelers jersey, a Cowboys jersey, a Giants jersey, and a Patriots
Cowboys.
Jersey.
Cowboys.
Moose.
Oh.
Moose Johnson.
That's right. That's
and
right.
A Shaq,
that's
and
right.
a Shaq jersey.
Oh, multiple Shaq jerseys. Shaq I have the most of.
I could just see Andy when he was a little kid. He won a football helmet. His mother would take one of those big potato chip bowls and just two holes in it with a string and put it on his head. That's even that funny. Would be tight.
I have two Bledsoe shirts, Fred, home and away.
Do you?
I don't know where they are. Yeah. They're in my house somewhere.
One's labeled dork and the other loser.
Beth has a Brewski shirt, I think.
Oh, that must hurt.
That's going to leave a mark.
That hurts. Less of her now as a human being.
It's the only one they have.
Playoff games over the weekend. Any surprises? I mean, I was 3-1. I figured Atlanta would win, but they lost.
I was 3-1.
I
was with you. I said I liked all the road teams except the Colts.
I liked Arizona in that game just because Atlanta's played so badly on the road.
You liked Arizona?
Yeah, I just think they played well at home and Atlanta's played bad on the road.
Arizona plays well at home.
The way they
now this week you can say you like Arizona.
Oh, Arizona's got no shot this week.
I don't think so either.
But Arizona, I thought, would win that game last week because Atlanta has been terrible on the road and Arizona's been tough at home.
Okay, I just thought.
Now that all that said, Arizona was rather fortunate to win the game.
Well, but also I also think Arizona's defense came to play.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, they deserved to win because they ran the ball and stopped the run.
Yep, and Matt Ryan made some mistakes.
But that
which
fumble
was kind of a fluky play,
and that really
the
turned the game around.
Yeah,
I was surprised that the Colts lost. Not stunned. I thought that was a pick'em game that could go either way. But I thought the Colts. I still think the Colts are a far better team than San Diego. And if they played 10 times, I think the Colts
would win. Caught up with them, though, Paul. You know, they won so many games this year that they should have lost.
The MVP of the game was the punter. I mean, you know, God bless you guys, but, you know,
no,
but Cyphers won the game.
I'm saying the Colts, it caught up with them this year. They won way too many games this year that they should have lost.
And the Chargers didn't?
No, but the Chargers were playing hot at the end. Yeah. And the Colts, I think, just had been a fraud team all year, and it caught up with them, and they got what they deserved.
Yeah.
Freddie.
No Patriot fan there.
We have very important stuff to get to today.
What's that?
PFWinProgress.com awards.
Oh, we'll do that in the second hour.
Okay, because Paul and I were given the duties of splitting the reading of the awards because they didn't trust you. So each of us have seven
look
to
the
read.
Look on his face.
Who's they?
The people who
the
made up the awards.
The compilers of the awards.
The boys at the awards.
Who?
I'm not throwing anybody under a bus.
The Academy
of PFW Awards.
Yeah. I'll be speaking to the Academy.
But the Baltimore game, I think, went exactly the way we all thought it was going to go.
Yes. Yep.
Maybe not with the amount of interceptions that Pennington threw, but we figured Baltimore would sort of overpower them.
Ed Reed just picked off another pass.
Yeah.
Actually.
And he scored. Hardly ever see that.
And
guy catches it
game?
Running away from the line
he's
of scrimmage.
However,
hooks well around and scores.
That was his first TD in the postseason, I believe.
And I was
Well, you didn't say that very confidently.
I was surprised to see the system cornerback return another touchdown on a pick.
I'm 2 for 2, Paul, this year. I've watched two Eagles games, and both times I see him running down the left sideline into the end zone. And my boy, Tavarius Jackson, got killed on that play. Well, beyond
you might
that.
You might not want to jump.
Oh, yeah, he got bodies.
He looked
on
like he was, what do they call that? Like
ragdoll?
No, like a wrestler when you do it to help the guy
right.
out.
He got body slammed.
Oh, you jump?
But
you might not want to jump up
he
and
like,
help the guy.
Helped himself get killed on that play.
He sold the move very well.
Sold it. Yeah, he sold it big time.
All right, web radio at
Patriots.com.
You know, my overwhelming impression of the week, I don't know how you felt, Fred. I watched a good portion of all four games and really, really bad football.
I was going to say the same thing, Paul, especially in the offensive side, execution.
It's much like I saw all season.
Poor,
I don't think there are any good teams in this league.
And I was, you know, not that I'm a Patriots fan or anything, but you know, the execution that the Patriots have on those short screen passes, the slip screens, we take it for granted. These teams cannot pull off that play the way the Patriots do with such efficiency.
It's a signature play for this team.
You know,
they've been running it for.
It takes a lot of coordination because the guards have to get out there. The tight end has to get in front of the play.
Yeah, it's no accident. Do you remember how much
Westbrook
we talked about?
Westbrook did go 71 yards with one of them, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's.
Are we not talking about the
same kind
of screen?
If he was on the Patriots, I think he would do that a lot. I mean, if you give him the Wes Welker opportunities, the guy would have 2,000 yards on screens.
Who
are
you talking about? Brian Westbrook. He actually won the game.
But Fred, it's not an accident. We talked all August about how much in training camp they worked on screens.
Right,
a variety of screen passes.
They did. They did a lot.
I mean, they spent the whole season working on it.
Absolutely.
That's why you're good at it.
But you can see the difference in offensive execution.
You know, that's one. And we're going to get to these awards and all the stupid things that me and Andy say during the course of the season, and there are a lot of them. But that was one thing that we talked about a lot during the summer was how much they were working on screens. And you really did see that.
Yeah.
I don't think that was just because Castle got hurt. I mean, Brady got hurt in Castle.
No.
That was clearly going to be a big part
of their
offense. They had been a downfield team last year, and that this was their adjustment to the adjustment. Mm-hmm. They were going to try to screen teams to death, and they did all year long.
Plus, they've done it well in the past, so they knew that was something they could do.
And it just happened to be
at a year when they might have.
Right. Yeah. That it helped Castle because it got the ball out of his hands quicker. And,
right.
you know, mitigate.
What would have been an aspect of the offense under Brady became a key aspect
right.
of the offense
exactly.
under Castles as he eased into things.
That's
were you upset that I threw you in that we say a lot of stupid things? I said me and you?
That's why I said
instead
a lot.
Just,
I don't
instead
know
of just me?
Lot, I mean,
okay, just me.
A few.
A lot.
A variety, a handful.
Terry from New Haven writes in. I'm a long-time listener, but rarely write in because I listen on delay on the podcast. I'm writing in now. Because my girlfriend and I made a trip up to the hall at Patriot Place yesterday.
It was closed.
It did not disappoint. There was really a bit of everything with the New England movie. I'm from New Haven, the various relics, and, of course, the Super Bowl trophies and rings. There is really nothing else like this in sports, and it made me feel lucky to have been a New England fan for all these years. My personal highlight, and Paul will appreciate this, was that they had clips from Bledsoe's Monday night game against Miami in 98. Not only were there highlights from the game, but they actually had the x-rays from Drew's broken finger on display. I think that my girlfriend thought I was weird by how excited I got about seeing this piece of team history, but that is what it means to be a fan. It was tough to see the team not make the playoffs after getting hot late in the season. Any other 11-5 would have been enough, but I suppose this isn't to be. I haven't listened to yesterday's show, but I have heard – okay, so that's – that's it. So that's Terry from New Haven talking about how great the hall is.
Did you guys not invite me to yesterday's show?
Everyone should go.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do that soon.
We have to do that.
What's that?
Go to the hall.
Yeah,
maybe next week.
You should go.
Maybe
you know.
Next week.
Now, you're sure they're not going to charge me $10?
Maybe next week when
we have to flash the badge. Right?
We'll put the season ender, the season review issue to bed this
good
week,
call,
and
Paul.
Maybe next week we'll go over.
Good call, Paul.
Presented by Raytheon.
We'll stop at
good call to the hall, Paul.
He will hit a couple restaurants on the way back through.
Web radio.
Speaking of that, too, Jen, do you got a birthday lunch lined up for Eric yet?
You're into nothing. You've got 45 minutes.
You are an embarrassment.
Eric Scalavino.
What do you do?
I agree.
Why do
you're
look
close,
at me like
close.
That?
You say it mockingly.
Scalavino?
You say it derisively.
Scalavino?
There you go.
All right. Scalavino.
TG and NJ writes in. He says, I'm down here listening to the local chatter.
Now
finally,
I'm going
the Jets,
by P. Rillo.
Finally, the Jets fans are realizing that Tannenbaum is part of the problem. WFAN had Cower on this morning. Seems Tannenbaum never called Cower, never approached him. Carton, C-A-R-T-O-N, the guy with Boomer, called out Tannenbaum and Woody. Seems Woody forced Favre on Ratgini. Tannenbaum is insecure in his position and doesn't want a strong coach who could usurp him. And it's looking like Tannenbaum was more of the catalyst for Spygate than Ratgini. I'm getting a better idea why Belichick hates that franchise. Hopefully Rattenbaum gets the axe next. If not this season, maybe next. Death to the Jets.
Wow. Death to the Jets.
Death. Right. That email's right on point. In all way, I think that's absolutely the whole thing with Tannenbaum and Cower. I think Florio was well ahead of the curve on that, saying how you watch for him to step away from guys that are looking for the total control because he won't want it. It won't be a good fit for us here
in
New York.
But I thought he'd be happy to share
it won't be a good fit for him.
Right.
He's saying, the right things, but he's trying to save his job. And I told you, and you've said this right from the start about Spygate, Fred, that a lot of people around here – seemed to think that Tannenbaum was as much more involved in that whole operation than Mangini ever was.
Oh, yeah.
But Mangini's getting his, sounds like, because He's going to end up with another job very quickly.
Oh, could end up in his favor.
Mike writes in, I'm currently vacationing in Cancun and will be visiting the Mayan temples on Tuesday.
You obviously had disposable income. Why not send a lunch?
Yeah. Is he going to Chichen Itza?
I don't know. But he was wondering if...
I've been there.
I was wondering if I was going to bring back an imaginary girlfriend since the temples are pyramids.
That's uncalled for, especially on this day.
Down there, you can actually bring one back.
Go to Egg Pipe.
Anyway, on to football. I may be the only one with this opinion, but if I had to choose between Pioli and McDaniels leaving the Patriots, I would rather Scott go. Scott at least has a known backup in Nick Caserio, while we don't know anything about who would replace McDaniels. I also don't believe we have anyone on staff to replace McDaniels besides maybe Dante and Bill. Bill just doesn't have the time to call the plays and come up with a game plan each week. Dante has enough to deal with the offensive line.
How about 1 year of no coordinator?
Oh,
like
that's
they
Mike
did last
from
time.
Sharon, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
1 year of no coordinator like last time, and Bill O'Brien has been a coordinator in major college football. The coaches here love him. He's been
promoted.
Where was
he the coordinator?
I don't know. Wasn't he the coordinator at Georgia or Georgia Tech or somewhere? Look it up.
That's major
college
Duke,
football. I think, right?
Oh, that's not the one I was going for.
I'm cutting ties if it's Duke.
I think there's another program. I'll look it up. But I think he could be the coordinator.
I'm thinking of him as maybe being on that track, and that would make sense, what Andy said.
What's
is maybe
name?
Having Bill O'Brien.
O'Brien.
Maybe having Bill call plays again, you know, and sort of act like the offensive coordinator.
Offensive coordinator, Georgia Tech.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Assistant head coach and offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech.
So he must have been under Chan Gailey then, right?
Huh?
At Georgia Tech. What were the years at Georgia Tech?
95 to 02.
Yeah, so you at least overlapped Chan Gailey. That's a pro-style offense that he was running.
And then at Duke for 2 years after that. Oh, Maryland 2 years as running backs coach.
A lot of ACC experience in there.
So I do think that he's the one guy on the staff that has – sort of the resume that I think Bill generally looks for, the Brian Daboll, Josh McDaniels.
And he's
type.
Older, actually, and you know, in terms of overall experience, is more experienced than McDaniels, mm-hmm. but pro game, he's only been here 2 years. But
I don't think any other guy on the staff, other than O'Brien,
yeah, McDaniels
well,
is really a
Mangurian
candidate.
Mangurian
has one
credit.
Year of
right.
offensive coordinator experience in but 2003 in Atlanta. Dante, I think.
Fred, what do you think?
Ivan Fears. These guys have been position coaches for almost their whole careers.
Right. I think O'Brien would be it.
They are what they
are. Maybe not immediately, but I think he would be it. Mm-hmm. Not Mike Shanahan as Paul wants.
When did I say I wanted
I don't know.
That?
You were like, how about Shanahan or something?
I never said that.
Bill respects him. He's an offensive genius.
I don't really even like Shanahan. I think he's kind of a snake.
Last week before you left early.
I don't think I said we should bring him
in. I think you did.
I think we might have just said, can you imagine if he brought in Shanahan or something like that?
Yeah, something along those lines.
There's a big difference.
When was the last time we were on? What has happened since we were on?
You had a colonoscopy, obviously.
No, was Mayo Rookie of the Year when we were on or no?
No, that happened New Year's Eve.
Mayo.
So
Gerard Mayo won Rookie of the Year award.
That's Defensive Rookie of the Year. Congratulations, mm-hmm. Gerard Mayo. And you can get
nearly
wallpapers
unanimous.
And screensavers on Patriots.com.
Yeah, one vote
right now.
Nearly unanimous.
Only one. The guy who did his story apologized.
Mayo.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
I believe it was Reese tracked down the one guy who didn't vote for him, voted for Keith Rivers, Bengals linebacker, and the guy said, "I tell him my bad, I owe him one because I forgot or something." Like he,
I made a
he
mistake.
Messed up. I made a mistake.
Wow.
At least he admitted it.
Unlike that guy from the Red Sox, Dustin Pedroia.
What about Coach of the Year? You see, he voted for Belichick?
One guy.
Bob Costas voted for. Why does he have a vote?
Maybe they needed to get the pompous level up a little bit.
Yeah.
Eric, I'm surprised they didn't call you.
I'm surprised, too. Very surprised.
I mean, Regis Philbin should have a vote.
Bill would have had two votes at that point.
Bob Costas does work in sports.
I know.
He hosts a primetime, your game of the week show.
Sunday night, he does a football show.
I think it's a little odd that
he shouldn't. I'm not saying he should be, but Regis Philbin?
I think it's a little odd that
he's one of the most respected journalists.
Does Chris Berman have votes, too?
He was on the baseball blue ribbon committee.
Does Frank DeFord have a vote then?
He could.
You know, I don't think
he
does.
Frank DeFord's still around?
Yeah.
Well, sure. If you had said Frank DeFord, I wouldn't have argued Regis Philbin. Hulk Hogan.
I think Belichick should have got more than one vote.
I agree.
How about the fact that John Harbaugh didn't get any?
Stan didn't either.
Yeah.
Neither did Stan.
It's all the defense there, and that's been in place for a while.
Last year.
Emily writes in.
It's not all the defense.
And she says, happy birthday,
I agree with
Eric.
That they're a team now.
Oh, thank you, Emily. My favorite PFW listener.
She's hot.
She is.
She
baked us cookies.
Happy birthday.
Which is why she's comfortable talking to you, because she knows you have no interest in her.
All right.
I couldn't decide who I wanted to lose more, San Diego or Indy. It's too bad they couldn't both lose. But once it was clear things were heading to overtime, I was just hoping whomever won the coin toss won the game. I wanted someone else to know how it felt to lose a game because of some dumb overtime rule.
You wanted someone else to find that out? Everybody finds that out. Almost all, what was it, 9 out of 15 this year ended on the first possession?
Do you think Bill Polian is ticked off about the loss, and do you think he might join the Patriots and others in changing the overtime rules this offseason? I think Bill Polian's pissed off, but not because of that. I think there were some calls that he's probably upset.
They're not going to change that rule either.
No, they're not.
He probably put his fist through one of the walls at Qualcomm Stadium.
Yeah. Paul. The irony was there for Bill Polian. He bitched and moaned in 03 about them mugging his receivers. That cost them. They got the rule change, and then one of the worst defensive holding calls I've ever seen in overtime prevents them from having to punt, and it costs them another playoff game.
Justice.
I'm sure he was pretty happy on that flight home.
Of those nine that won with the first possession of overtime, how many overcame a 3rd and 15 in their own end?
That I don't know, but I can't imagine too many got 3 first downs via penalty on their drive either, the way San Diego did.
Say Scott Pioli does go to the Browns. Do you think Bill Belichick would be more upset if Pioli hires Eric Mangini or Josh McDaniels? I think it's more of an emotional blow to hire Mangini. I want the insert word Fred cannot say in the air to have a miserable life and never be a head coach again. However, from an operational standpoint, McDaniels would be a bigger loss. P.S. Favre sucks. I hate him. That being said, I hope he signs 5-year extension with the Jets.
Well, I see your point, Emily, but I hope he is. I hope Favre has played his last game.
I think he has.
I think he has too. And
please,
I don't think
God.
Bill. I don't think Bill would please really be God. Upset if Pioli hired either one of those guys.
Well, upset from a he doesn't want to lose McDaniels.
Yeah, no. That,
oh, I think he'd be upset if he hired McDaniels.
I'm talking about a personal upset. A personal upset. I'm talking about. I don't think he would be, because he knows that McDaniels is probably going somewhere.
Yeah, but you know, to have the guy leave here and then take away your offensive coordinator, that kind of stinks.
I think it kind of stinks. That was my point, but like, not take him off the Christmas card list.
No.
That's what being disappointed is one thing.
It's going to kind of stink if McDaniels goes to any of the other 31 teams.
What do you think the chances?
I don't think he cares about Mangini going there.
No, I don't think he does either.
Odds that both McDaniels and Pioli remain in New England next year.
You know what?
As 47%.
With every passing day, I think the odds go up, obviously.
I think Pioli is definitely going to be back.
You do?
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Really? Why is that?
Just don't think he is. I think he would have done it by now if
because
he wanted
of
to.
The situations, just not the right situations?
I have no idea.
Just your gut
over
feeling?
A new leaf.
Do you think
I have ideas. I'm
he's
not
playing the role of Fred Kirsch and just throwing stuff out there. No idea.
Do you think he doesn't want to run his own show?
He said he doesn't want to share his ideas with you.
Oh.
Paul's not very good on the radio because he doesn't want to share his ideas with us
anymore.
I mean, everyone assumes that's what he wants to do.
I used to be in trouble for the other way.
You know?
But
I think that this – you know what? This is what I think, okay? I think that Scott Pioli likes to dance, and I don't think he
Tango?
Has any intentions of
Mamba?
Leaving with
well,
anyone.
But then what if Cleveland had – you know, now, according to the reports – his demands were so high in Cleveland that they even questioned whether or not he really wanted to leave here.
And I'm curious as to
now,
where those
now, when you
that's
do that,
part of my
I know, but
my
when,
rationale.
You, when you do that, you run a risk of the team saying, okay, and now you've been given the moon. Now you got to produce. So you also put yourself in a tough position if those demands are accepted. What do you think those demands were besides total control? I mean –
Another fact that Andy and I have talked about.
That's one of the things I was thinking of when I read that the first time last week. I'm like, what could he possibly
could he
have been asking
possibly
for?
Ask
total control.
We both came in and said the same thing. We looked at each other and said, Rick Pitino.
Right.
With the Celtics. Like, team president, like, ticket guy, you're out. Secretary,
right,
been
right.
working here for 35
anybody
years.
Anybody and everybody.
Out by 6 o'clock. You, what do you, you got a bad haircut. You're out.
Right.
That's what Pitino did.
That's what Pitino did, and I think that's
and he
what
he had the power to do.
And Pioli knew that no one's going to give him that. I don't really think he wants to go.
I have no idea.
Now that you made me say it.
So he wanted to be the face of the Cleveland Browns.
Not just the face, but absolutely anything.
Right.
The only person he can't fire is Lerner. That's what I think he wanted.
Okay.
But that's just speculation.
I think this also
could have been Twinkies.
But then why is that too much for anybody to ask for a team? Isn't that
– Well, I don't
even –
Well,
you're
Bill Belichick doesn't
have
that power here.
Bill Belichick doesn't
have
that power.
I mean, you're cutting off the owner. You're saying, you hired me. Your job is done. Don't talk to me anymore because I make every decision for this team.
Just so you know, if Bill had that power, this show would
would have been BFW no longer in progress.
I got to agree with that.
But most teams don't have this type of operation.
Like right. Most teams aren't as aggressive in media as the Patriots
are. Guys that have total control.
Like the Cowboys are, but there are a few teams that do as much as the Patriots.
So I'm saying in another organization, having total control, you might not be overseeing as many things as you would be
seeing. Well, you can also make sure it never happens.
Eric Pitino is the example. The Celtics had a long-standing history. They had employees that worked there since the 60s, Arbuck. And he walked in and literally told, like, Edie, you know the Edie that you're out by 6. I want you out. Get clean out wherever you have a desk and be out. He had that power. No, not a lot of places give that power. And he did it. And it ruined the organization because it totally set him back.
Morale-wise, you mean?
Morale. I mean, it was no mistake that he fell flat on his face there.
What the hell are you guys up to
he'd
now?
Be out.
He'd be out.
Rick Pitino would have said, you're out.
People that have total control don't have the control to just fire the ticket guy.
Right.
And you know, they might make some changes. You know, everybody does. Bill made changes. I mean, there was some guys that worked in various elements of the organization, whether it be media relations or in some
video.
Sort of marketing video. Yeah, you get your own guys in. Some guys stayed. Some guys left. But he didn't have total control to just fire anybody he wanted. He had to run it through channels and the crafts and whatnot. And I think that's the case in 99% of the organizations in sports.
When I hear total control, I assume that they're talking about from the football
from
standpoint.
From the football, and you're right.
Well, it is
not,
generally.
Not from the ticket
that's
guy
why asking
the kitchen,
for
I'm
total,
about the,
total
but
control.
But that's what I'm saying. That might be a possibility of what Pioli asked for.
Right.
Knowing he wasn't going to get it.
Anything and everything.
Because it's rare, but it's not unprecedented.
And I also think, and Andy, I think you brought this up
it's
off the
point.
Air.
Oh,
the fact that Dimitrov... Well, the fact that Dimitrov did so well in Atlanta, one of his underlings, I don't think it's not like an insulting thing to Scott, but maybe that was one of those things he said, geez, you know, now there's really a lot of pressure on me if I go. You know, it's not necessarily a slam against Scott. Maybe if he's kind of back and forth, well, I like it here, and this is a great situation for me. We've had a lot of success. I don't know if I want to go. That might be a factor on the let's not go side.
Right.
You know, one of my underlings had tremendous success in Atlanta. That puts a lot more pressure on me. You know, I mean, just another factor that could be involved. I just felt that this was the year for Scott. It looked like all signs were pointing for him to go. His name was out there everywhere as the season was winding down. I thought he was going. And when he didn't go right away, I'm starting to think it's just like all the other off seasons.
But why?
I don't really know.
If he interviewed in Denver yesterday, why do you not think tomorrow they're going to have a 4 o'clock press conference to announce Scott Pioli?
I don't know. I just think that what is so different about the different teams that he's interviewing for?
Wasn't Denver,
it was
Kansas City.
Well, it was
Kansas City and Cleveland. What is so different? You know, someone's going to come along and be different.
No, but
in
I mean,
way?
He might look at anything. For all I know, he doesn't want the quarterback hassle in Cleveland, or he doesn't want X. He sees the money in Kansas City.
My feeling, he's going to find that reason everywhere he goes.
So he just doesn't really want to leave.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not. I know it probably sounds derogatory, but I don't really mean it to be.
Right.
He's had an awful lot of success with Belichick, and there's a lot worse things in life than to be the vice president of player personnel and the de facto general manager, because Belichick is really the general manager. But he's you know, kind of second in command. There's a lot worse things to do than rack up Executive of the Year awards with one of the most successful franchises in modern sports history.
But he needs to be careful, because he needs to make sure that's what he really wants to do, because at some point they're going to stop asking, right, Fred? I mean,
I would think, yeah.
They'll stop asking, and then some people will look back and say, well, you know, he had the success with Belichick. He never did anything on his own. Whereas, like, Belichick was talked up really high when he was a Parcells underling.
Right.
But then he left, and then, you know, stumbled at first that first stop, but he ended up making his way.
Right.
Parcells
right.
proved he's gone everywhere he wants to go, and he's had success. They've all gone their own way and had success.
Right.
Except
and it's,
him
and
so
like
far,
Paul said, it's fine to not
if that's
to be
what he
okay
wants,
with
right.
It.
But there will
like,
always be people
Dante
who
Dante Scarnecchia
bring that up.
Could have been a head coach in this league,
sure.
I guess. But chose not to. Chose to be an assistant. Has stability
and
with his
totally
family.
And is totally fine with that.
And is fine with that. But no, I mean, no one's called in 15 years to say, Dante, do you want a head coach?
Because they know he's
right.
He's, right.
So at some point, you kind of get pushed into that category of, oh, he's just happy where he is, and that's what he is.
Exactly.
All right. A lot of interesting talk. We're going to continue it after the break.
Like the Patriots? Like winning stuff? Join the VXP program from Verizon. The same company that always delivers the Patriots to you through RazorShop Fios, blazing fast internet, and in-depth mobile content is now delivering you to the Patriots. I'm talking about field passes, stadium tours, luxury boxes. Want to watch a game from the press box? How about the sideline? Don't like the sound of your own voice? Have a Patriots player leave your outgoing voicemail. That's the level of access I'm talking about here, folks, and it's all a part of the program. So how do you become a VXP? It's simple. Just text VXP Play to 51500 or go to v-xp.com for an entry form. For a chance to win, just answer some Pat's trivia. That's it. There's a new prize every day through December 28th. Text VXP Play to 51500 or register at v-xp.com. The VXP program from Verizon. Victory comes to those who play. No purchase necessary. Void in Florida. Promotion ends 12/28/08. Play daily from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. Must be 18. Official rules at v-xp.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Eric's had a tough time opening up on PFW in Progress. They begged and pleaded and still nothing. Come on, Eric.
No. No, not in the last 2 days, no. I was not talking about that.
I don't care.
No, I'm not talking about this.
We're wondering if it's just on the radio or if it's the same deal upstairs. We've placed our hidden microphones in Eric's cube to get the scoop. Let's listen in.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to grab lunch. You want anything?
Sorry, no. I'm not talking about it.
Hey, Eric, do you know what Belichick's press conference is?
Don't worry about that. We're not going into that territory.
Hey, Eric, my internet seems to be down. Is yours working?
There's a moratorium on that issue.
Hey, did you watch the Idol final? I can't believe David Cook won.
No.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I'm not doing it with you. No.
Hey, Eric, did you do the blitz today?
I said too much. That part I'm not going to talk about.
Eric, $4.09 a gallon. Can you believe these gas prices?
Enough, both of you. Enough.
Hey, Eric, make sure you tell your friends to check out the new edition of Patriots Today.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh my God, Eric, he's choking. Do the Heimlich maneuver.
No. No, not at all.
Thank you for calling Gillette Stadium. How may I direct your call? All right, Eric, take it easy. Have a good night.
No, I'd have to say no.
Whoa, well, all right, Eric. We'll see what happens on the next show.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Why do we have to go on the air and make a big deal about it?
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Let's see, Phil from Nova Scotia says, happy birthday, Eric.
Thank you.
I think that you have made a lot of on-air improvements this year, not like not being on nearly as much. No offense, but your voice makes me queasy. Here's why. Wait a minute. There's a story behind this. Here's why. Last November 1st, as I was on the top of a rail car at work while listening to Eric's solo show, I was desperate. While moving from one side to the other, I tripped and severely broke my wrist. So there I am, trying to stay conscious while looking at my twisted hand and trying to pry my headphones off my head so I wouldn't have to listen to Eric drone on. When my coworker got to me, I was screaming, shut the F up. My coworker looked at me puzzled, and I screamed, get these effing headphones off. I can't stand it anymore. So now every time I hear Eric's voice, I feel sick. Happy birthday anyway, Eric. Hope you have a good day.
Yeah, well, that email is really going to help.
So
thanks.
Eric thanks found a lot. Another man with a limp wrist.
Oh, see.
Broken, so his lip.
TG and NJ said we're
going to have one too.
Are we going to read these? Yeah, TG and NJ said he tuned in. We were talking about the wedge. Were we talking about special teams? He wants to know.
No. That's a useful wedge. That this is a useless wedge.
That's what she said.
All right, do you want to do that now? Do you
Who's
want
the 11-year-old girl that Mark Teixeira is married to?
She's not really hot either.
No.
She's not like $200 million hot.
No. Like, is she Colt McCoy's girlfriend in stands last night?
Hot.
Even Beth commented.
Really?
Oh, hot.
Two-gender, can you Google Colt McCoy's girlfriend?
All right, so we have a
I got her already. I know where she's at.
Yeah, but he can't get lunch.
I want to see.
How about that?
Yeah, can't get lunch, but...
Okay, so we have awards here, Eric. Why don't you explain these awards?
These are the first annual PFWImProgress.com awards. Some of them involve the show and us. Some of them involve the team and players in the NFL. And they contacted us. They wanted Paul and I to split the duties of reading them because, as I said earlier, they did not think Fred Kirsch was capable. They wanted them dispersed throughout the show. But
and Andy, like Eric, and I also participated in the vote.
Oh, yeah, we voted. Fred was too good to vote,
right.
Apparently.
I actually didn't send it to him.
Now he's too good to even listen.
Oh, you know, see now.
Can I start with one, Paul?
Yes. You. Why don't we go back
and forth?
Is that
enough lead-in? I mean,
that's more next. Well, it'll be self-explanatory, I think.
The first one I have is the Patriots moment of the season.
Patriots moment of the season.
Joint third place with 8% of the vote was the victory over the Dolphins and Welker's Snow Angel. That got 8% of the vote. Second place, getting 11% of the vote, was Castle's first completion to Moss from the 1 yard line.
That's what I voted for.
That was a good moment.
Good moment.
And the winner, and I agree with this, it is also going to be recognized as the PFW Lighthouse Award Offensive Play of the Year.
Oh,
really? Matt Castle's touchdown pass to Randy Moss against the Jets on fourth down, beating Ty Law, front corner of the end zone.
Tough to argue with that.
Pretty. If you don't recall, check out the photo on
the cover
of PFW.
Yeah,
or check out Getty Images.
It's the same.
Yes, right.
But that got 39% of the vote.
And including the whatever percentage that my vote made up.
Well, see, I voted for one that didn't get any of these because I voted for Brady going down. Because I didn't know if it had to be good. But to me, that was the moment of the year. The moment the season changed was when Bernard Pollard hit his leg and, you know, changed forever everything that
went. Yeah, I made that argument for our newspaper awards, too, and got shut down a lot.
You wanted to give Bernard Pollard.
Funny.
What did you want to give?
You wanted to be the offensive player
of
the year.
He was the opponent safety.
Fred Kirsch's team, that would be accurate because Fred wishes for injuries and tries to take out opposing players.
Oh, my goodness.
Bernard Pollard.
Okay, Andy obviously has the ones that are...
Oh, what's she doing with Mike Tyson?
Well, I have both.
Actually, these are kind of mixed up.
They mixed them all up.
Okay.
Don't interrupt the awards.
So my first one here is the Patriots douche moment of the year. And this one, again, we'll have the top three, and it's another joint third place winner. Slater's fumble against Pittsburgh and Gaffney's drop against Indy. That tied for 13%.
I didn't vote for either of those.
I voted for the Gaffney drop. Although I kind of...
What was the category?
I had two votes. I split my vote on this one.
Oh, I don't remember what I voted for. Go ahead.
The second place was Brady going down against Kansas City in the aftermath, including the Bernard Pollard fan club T-shirt fiasco.
Didn't vote for that either.
That received 21%. And in first place, for the douche moment of the Patriots season, David Thomas's penalty against Indianapolis that cost us the game. 25%.
I didn't vote for that either. I voted for one that didn't make the top three.
Okay, next up on my list.
Are you going to share it with us, or are you just going to keep us all in suspense?
I voted for Ty Law picking the Jets over the Patriots.
Okay.
Next up on my list, Patriots Rookie of the Year. I know we are all wondering how this could have possibly
gone. There are team awards, and then there are show awards, right?
It did not go 100%, Paul. It went, apparently more than two people got votes. Oh, sorry. Yes, two people split second place with 2.5% of the vote. Do you want to guess those two?
One vote each.
Do you want to guess
Gary Guyton?
And?
Jonathan Wilhite.
100-yard rusher.
Oh, Ben Jarvis. Oh.
And first place with 95% of the vote is Gerard Rodney Mayo.
who would vote for anyone beside him?
Mayo!
For the year?
Well, I think someone who doesn't vote should not be able to criticize others' votes.
Oh,
well, if I had I the opportunity to vote,
well, Paul was supposed to send it to you, but didn't for some reason.
No, I wasn't even supposed to send him to you guys.
It was your patriotic duty to vote.
It was on the website. I got it off the website.
All right, just go.
Special Teamer of the Year. This one,
Matthew Slater,
also was a joint third place. A lot of ties in this. Bubba Ventrone and Kelly Washington tied at 11% for third. Second place was Ellis Hobbs at 31%.
And they got it right.
And the winner, who got my vote, Stephen Gostkowski, 38%.
Right.
Well done.
Okay.
Next up on my side, favorite quote, with favorite spelled with a U as they do over there.
So now we're in the show awards.
They go back and forth.
Okay. Favorite quote, third place, and the one that got my vote, it's in a Fred Kirsch quote talking about my wife.
Oh, yeah. I voted for that one.
Does she take it anally?
I voted for that one.
Fred once said famously.
Fred's wincing.
Eric, stop saying that.
And, of course, he was talking about my temperature when I was ill on the show. Second place, another Fred Kirsch quote, 12%, embrace the hate in 08. And first place, another Fred Kirsch quote,
embrace the hate in 08,
17%. Drilling for oil.
Yes. Yeah. That was my vote.
In reference to me at the beach, you remember, and young high school girls.
Didn't get any better.
Which, in light of recent moments in the extended Patriots family, not so funny anymore.
Oh.
Unsung Hero, Mr. Patriot Award. Third place, Lonnie Paxton. 8%.
It's a good vote.
A little outside the box pick there.
That was
second place, I didn't really quite see this one, Brandon Merriweather at 11%.
Who voted in this? Chris Gasper from the Globe?
First place with an overwhelming percentage of 56%.
Kevin Falk.
And his diminishing skills.
I think that's
an
excellent choice.
If we want to be accurate about the Kevin Falk comment, we can go back and get the audio and say, I may be a year too early on this, but, and then I said.
You know what?
You know, it's something he says, he wants to be accurate. When it's something
what
anyone else
fuck?
Says.
I called Wes Welker a nice little player. You got to live with
and
it.
And you're still fighting that.
Sometimes you just got to live with it. What are you going to do? Don't say you didn't say it. You said it.
PFW moment of the year. Third place was 7% of the vote. Christina Acra interviewed by Fred and Andy, although Andy was just uncomfortable and quiet off to the side while Fred verbally
put
molested
the moves
her.
On her.
Second place at 11%, Fred's rape and pillage rant. You know, we're seeing in the voting here how important
a trend
Fred is to the show.
Yes. Well, we'll get to
that's,
that.
That's something we'll get to later on.
And first place, moment of the year from PFW, Eric's return from Egypt and the shows that followed, with the main phrase being included on all the votes, Eric falls in love with the first girl he meets.
That got first place, huh?
First place
moment of the year.
Well, it was a memorable. Wow. You professed your love, and we need not go down that road probably
no,
for your own emotional.
Just so you don't start yelling at Andy like you always do when comes up. No, excuse me. I'm not talking about
no,
that.
No, no, no. I don't
no,
bring
stop
it up.
Stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
The boss is the one who brings it up.
Because our listeners are interested in.
I think Fred's
look,
right.
Look, above all, we have to create good radio.
Lubricants.
True.
You know, if you're not going to be honest, if you're not going to be honest and open, don't come on this show.
So
I think Fred's right. I think the listeners want to know.
I can't believe I have to take Andy's
side. Kamani's not the only one who wants to know. All the listeners want to know.
But Kamani does want to know.
This is my favorite one out of all the awards. The PFW tearjerker moment of the year. And number three at 7%, Eric's return from Egypt. Which I thought was funny. Second place, and this got my vote. I'm a little disappointed that it didn't get more of a percentage. Andy's professing of his love for Rashard Mendenhall throughout the draft and the rest of the year. That received 10% of the vote. And number
Mendenhall
one
is ridiculous.
Number one was the – I didn't realize we were going serious with these – the layoff announcement with Gary, Mike, and
Lloyd.
Oh, that's what I voted for.
For 59%. Clearly, that is the – the saddest moment of the year.
Actual sadness.
I was thinking more humorous
not
than
humorous
sad.
Sadness.
Especially in light of the fact we're stuck with two gender. And
yeah, well, that's.
But
that's,
I thought that was a good one, tearjerker moment.
Okay, next up for me, soundbite of the year. Best PFW soundbite. There's a tie for second place at 9%, which is Fred's rape and pillage comment.
Are you supposed to drop in there?
I thought he would, but you know what? Apparently.
I don't think we have that.
No and lunch, no drop.
I don't drop that.
Also tied for that
I don't
is
drop that.
Mendenhall is ridiculous. And then the winner, 20%, and a famous one that includes a very key musical accompaniment, no formal artistic training.
Of course I have no formal artistic training.
ding, ding. Gets me every time. All right. The moment that when you look back, Fred, and you see just how stupid you really are. It's a lot of choices here. Mm.
The start of the show.
This otherwise should have been known as the Paul and Andy Show. Third place, Paul, well represented. Wes Welker, nice little player, 10%.
Loose change.
Number two, I believe I did call him loose change as well. Number two, fans of that dirty cowboy scumbag, how stupid we all were, 19%.
Well, indeed.
Well
said.
It's my quarterback.
Not that dirty cowboy. And number one, I really don't think this is even a close second, 47%, Andy Hart's declaration that Kevin Falk has diminishing skills.
I agree.
Wow. Is that it?
No, I get another one.
I have one more.
I have two more. So best guest, third place, 8%, Iggy from Madrid.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Second place,
Amigo con grande cabeza.
11%, Cormac from Ireland.
Wow.
The two guys who traveled across the ocean obviously got a little props for their distance. Yeah. But first place, the dynamic duo way back in spring, 50% of the vote, the future franchise quarterback Matt Cassel and the future Pro Bowler Wes Welker.
If you guys want to get a treat, you should go to the horse track and watch Wes Welker jockey.
We could really use – I mean, these need to get out there more, these quotes. I mean,
come on,
they would be
funny. Start finding room for these drop-ins. And at least
and do it a little more quickly.
Do it quicker than you can find a
slot. How about a short little player?
How about
a tall
bench
skinny
warmer?
Bench warmer? All right, PFW.
How about a tall skinny bench warmer?
The PFW MVP of the year. MVP.
Okay. Yep.
Joint third.
A race for,
Eric, Dan, and Gary at 5%.
Wow.
Joint second, Andy and Paul at 10%. And it doesn't even have the percentage here because I'm guessing it was just too large to calculate, but Fred Kirsch,
also
known as Jake and Frank. And it says here, this is the Academy has put down their personal favorite Fred moment, and the Academy's most memorable moment of Fred being the story from the Seattle toilets.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And the final award for me, and this is a serious one, the New England Patriots MVP. Third place, joint, Kevin Falk and Vince Wilfork with 3.5%. I think that's solid voting. Second place, I'm a little surprised at this, total here, 34%, Wes Welker.
Yeah, that's good.
Welker's your favorite player.
First place, Matt Cassel with 59% of the vote.
Yeah. Kevin Falk tied with who?
Wilfork.
Wilfork.
I think those guys
those are
guys. In the running.
I think all
those would be my top. Those would be my top.
I think every one of those guys stepped up.
A little surprised at 3.5% for Wilfork and Falk, and then 34% for Welker.
I think that's I don't know. It's kind of gay.
I agree, Wes.
And they just want to say a big thanks to the entire PFWinProgress.com website. I'm sure I can include you all in the studio in thanking James Cuff,
absolutely,
owner of the greatest website on the internet. He has advanced the show to another level by allowing us to remember the moments that happen, as well as being able to look at the predictions made and to laugh at. I'm sure everyone has a different reason to like the website, but I enjoy contributing there as much as I love listening to the show. Thanks. Have a happy new year. Fred, Andy, Paul, Dan, not forgetting birthday boy, Eric Scalavino.
Well done.
Does he get hit 36 times for his birthday like we do over here?
As long as I get to punch back.
Happy birthday.
I can piss harder than you can hit.
A leader in the clubhouse for the 09 Awards.
That's an early nominee.
Let's take a break and digest all that, and we'll be right back.
Like the Patriots? Like winning stuff? Join the VXP program from Verizon. The same company that always delivers the Patriots to you through RazorShop Fios, blazing fast internet, and in-depth mobile content is now delivering you to the Patriots. I'm talking about field passes, stadium tours, luxury boxes. Want to watch a game from the press box? How about the sideline? Don't like the sound of your own voice? Have a Patriots player leave your outgoing voicemail. That's the level of access I'm talking about here, folks, and it's all a part of the program. So how do you become a VXP? It's simple. Just text VXP Play to 51500 or go to v-xp.com for an entry form. For a chance to win, just answer some Pat's trivia. That's it. There's a new prize every day through December 28th. Text VXP Play to 51500 or register at v-xp.com. The VXP program from Verizon. Victory comes to those who play.
No purchase necessary. Void in Florida. Promotion ends 12/28/08. Play daily from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. Must be 18. Official rules at v-xp.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
April 9th, 2008. Exciting news! By popular demand, I recently started a series of full-color paintings, my first foray into colors other than black and white, of famous places around the globe. I'm starting with sites and locations where I've already been, like Italy, and will soon be visiting, including Egypt. For portraits, I'll continue to create them in my signature black and white, which I find much more dramatic than color when it comes to faces. So I think the juxtaposition between these two vastly different bodies of work will offer a compelling contrast of attention-grabbing images.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Well, that was fun. Fred, PFW in Progress.com awards.
They did a good job with it, too,
Freddie. Oh, they do a very good job on the photos as well. Paul pointed out a pretty fly for a white guy photoshopped photo that was pretty funny from last week's show.
Yeah.
Those photos are good, and they still have up the little elves with us around Fred the Santa.
Yeah.
Fred, I wanted to point out, though, that in light of the blog reading, did you know the economy's finally hitting Eric's art?
Is that right?
Sales are down.
So now he's gone from zero to – how can you do less than zero? How does
that
work? I
owe people money.
Sales are down 100% from zero.
Wow.
You mean it's tough. It's tough times everywhere.
The owner of the dog is charging you now. Yeah. All right.
Electricity hitting hard for the light bright.
Tough.
It's really
tough.
Light bright.
Yeah.
Why do you get so mad?
I played along.
I think he's actually handling it pretty well this time.
He's got
the
this
old
look
Eric
on his face like he wants to go suicidal.
What is your plans for
the old
this
Eric,
economy?
35-year-old Eric.
That's right.
What does a starving artist do in a down economy?
Begs for lunch from his listeners.
Prostitution.
Yeah.
Prostitution.
You want to eat my salad?
Gay porn. You know there's a lot of money in that?
No. No.
There is. I've read articles.
What would be your porn name, Eric?
Well, don't you have to do it by the first pet and the street name?
Yeah.
Isn't that how it goes? Isn't that the whole the little...
I'm Tuffy Bakerville.
Oh, mine doesn't work.
How about like, you know,
Jake Steele?
Like Eric the Head instead of Eric the Red.
How does he always have one? He
more of a description of his talents, but...
more of the prowess, not the talent, right?
Oh. Yeah.
That's no, what actually. She said.
Toots second.
Toots second?
Who's Toots first?
Make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. My
first
point
pet
doesn't make any sense.
So what's yours, Eric?
Toots and Woots were my two turtles when
it would
I was little.
To be
Woots.
Toots and Woots. And I lived on Second Street, so it doesn't make any sense.
Nutmeg Paul.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nutmeg.
That's your...
That would have to be my...
okay, yeah, I thought you were taking
formula.
A shot at me.
No. No, that
doesn't work for me. Formula doesn't
really
work
for
me.
I guess.
Okay, on the phone is Chris with a TIAN. How you doing, Christian?
All right, what's up? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
too,
to you.
Christian.
Happy birthday, Eric.
Thank you, Christian.
You're welcome.
42.
No, it's not 42, Fred.
42.
Don't make me throw the habitual liar line at you now.
What?
36.
I was going to buy you lunch.
I want to see a lot of birthday.
Wait, what'd you say?
I just tuned in. I was going to buy a lunch. Is it too late?
No, it's not too late.
Never too late.
Except two genders, you know, kind of inept at his job, so it might be. But
all right, I'll be quick. I don't know. Have you guys heard that we can franchise Castle? I don't know if you heard that or not. Are you serious with this? It's only January. I don't want to talk about this now. Give me a month at least until it's finished. That's all everybody's talking about. Right. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You need some,
and then the other thing, other people are saying, well, you know, we can trade Brady. Yeah, we'll trade. That's good. They'll trade a healthy Brady, and they'll keep Castle. Yeah, they'll do that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Wow. Christian needs some
R&R. Christian,
a angry
Christian,
to start the year.
Are you telling me that you just discovered talk radio? I mean, because this crap's been going on for years.
I'll tell you what really pissed me off is watching football this weekend, all these crappy teams in there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what aggravated me more than anything.
I said that to Paul. I came in. And I said, can you imagine Bill watching the games this weekend and thinking, this crap is in the playoffs and I'm at home right now?
Well, you certainly wouldn't have had Castle throwing four interceptions against the Ravens defense. They're good and all, but I don't think he would have thrown up those soft balls.
I don't think he would.
Four against Pittsburgh.
He was,
but he
didn't throw four interceptions.
They weren't his fault.
Yeah.
Those were Pennington's fault.
Yeah, and Miami, you know, I mean, it happened in the first time they met. They shut down the Wildcat and Miami couldn't do anything. And then they tried to run it the other day, and the same thing happened. And when Pennington, you know, tried to go deep, his noodle arm came up.
Yep.
I think they made a mistake by not trying the Wildcat the other day. I thought, and Andy and I talked about it on Sunday, on Monday. I think the only way that offense was going to be able to move the ball against that defense was to trick him.
Gimmick.
You know, they did a couple of things early with the quick flat passes to Patrick Cobbs.
Yeah.
That worked. You know, I know they tried a reverse again, and that blew up, and that ultimately was the play that doomed them because – I think they were in position to at least get a field goal and be within a score. Mm-hmm. But I think they needed to do more Wildcat stuff, and they really only – I think they only ran it twice. And it just – they weren't going to be able to line up, especially with the injuries Miami had. They had no wide receivers, and they couldn't spread the field at all. They couldn't do anything, and it just didn't work. And look, Pennington had guys – you know, he was under a lot of pressure, but he on two of those interceptions, he just overthrew guys that were wide open.
Yeah.
Just terrible throws.
I think because they got to him early.
They did.
I mean, not that they rattled him, but they hit him a couple of shots where, I mean, Scott hit him one time. And I can't believe he got up.
I know the exact one you're talking about. I can't believe that didn't get a penalty.
Would have been a
little bit late.
Yeah. And it was totally with the helmet, too.
Yeah.
That would have been a very competitive game here
if both
I think
been
that
here.
I said it at the time. I think that would have been a very tough out for the Patriots. They were able to get by it, I don't know what shape they would have been in to move on after playing a team like Baltimore. That's I think that would have been a tough matchup for the Patriots.
Yep.
But I agree. Actually, I thought all four games. I didn't think there was one of those four games were well played. Even the San Diego Indy game was littered with mistakes.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of penalties. Yeah.
11 penalties on the Colts.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Sir Spolian, right?
I actually want to know what you guys thought about Dungy. I was reading on the other day online on Indy Star. Bob Kravitz just killed Dungy and like the whole team. I don't know if you guys.
I was about to read an email, Christian, about that.
Yeah, it was actually. I mean, he was saying, you know, New England wasn't there this year and there wasn't a clear favorite and again an MVP and again they're out in the first round and I mean they did win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, as much as I hate Indy, you know, you got to give him credit. I mean, they did at least win one while he was there. We all didn't think Manning had it in him to come back, and he did.
Get to the postseason consistently, too. Yeah. I think people forget that, you know, the Patriots won three, sure, but it's hard to do that. There's a reason when you do that, you're starting to be compared to the greatest teams ever.
That's why the Patriots are a dynasty.
Even the Patriots. I mean, you see last year, they lost. They didn't complete it. And, you know, I sort of agree that maybe the Colts haven't been great in the postseason and Manning hasn't been great consistently in the postseason. But they get there every year. They're one of the great teams of this generation, and they did win it. They completed the journey at least once.
I got into this with Felger on Sunday too, because he was on the Peyton Manning sucks bandwagon, and then there's a whole list of quarterbacks I'd rather have in a big game, including one of which, by the way, Fred, was Chad Pennington. That I spit out my Pepsi when he said that. That was before he threw four picks against Baltimore. But I think there's a difference between losses. I think there's a difference between losing the game they lost Saturday night on the road in overtime to San Diego. Okay, as opposed to losing, was it 0-5 at home to Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, yeah.
That was a bad loss. Yeah. Early in Manning's career, they were 13-3 at home against Tennessee, and they lost. That's a bad, bad loss. Going to New England after playing two games previously in 0-3 and losing in the AFC Championship, to me, is not a bad, bad loss.
Right.
That's a postseason loss.
Yeah.
There's nothing to, I mean, you know, losing to the Patriots in 0-4, the 14-2 Patriots, that's not a bad postseason loss to me. Now, Manning didn't play particularly well in those games, but I don't look at that as a choke like I do the Pittsburgh home game when Vanderjagt missed the field goal. Yeah. That's a choke.
Right.
That's a flat-out choke.
Did you think it was a little bit of a stretch, though, that he got MVP this year?
No, I didn't think there was anybody else that even deserved consideration.
Well, that's the thing. That's your argument for giving it to him. That nobody else really stood
stinks.
Out. But
that team, as currently constituted, is every bit as beaten up as the Patriots, except for Manning kept playing and Brady didn't. And they just kept winning games in all different ways week after week.
It wasn't like he won the games for them.
Yes, he did. Did you see what he did?
A lot of times it was the defense coming up making a play.
I missed that game.
There was a game that he played that Thursday night game against Jacksonville where he single-handedly won that
they
game.
They strapped the team on his back.
The thing about the Colts this year, they struggle to score points. And
it was almost
by his sheer will that they scored points at the end.
They came from double-digit deficits in the fourth quarter four different times to win games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Four times in one season.
They had
quarterbacks go a lifetime without doing
that. He just didn't have the weapons. You didn't have guys running wide open like you did. You know, he had to really, really take the team on his back in order to score even a touchdown this year.
And you know what else
it was
think,
really
Eric,
tough.
Why I think he got the consideration that he did is because, similar to Brady, he wasn't physically ready to play at the start of the season.
Right.
And you could see that.
Oh,
I mean, you could see he couldn't do it. And then as he got better, you could see his performance get better, and the team went from 3-4 to 12-4 as his health improved. And it's not fair because you don't get to see what happens when everybody's out. That's why I don't like the term most valuable. To me, it's player of the year.
And I also think they should wait a little bit and maybe do it the week before
after
the Super Bowl.
I don't know why they don't.
Oh, I don't think it should count the playoffs.
I think it should.
Not everybody makes the playoffs.
But that's the point.
No, I don't think
your
it should count
value,
the playoffs.
Let your team get to the
I
playoffs.
Agree. I agree.
They have
with
awards
that,
for the playoffs. That's different.
I think it should include the
I think
playoffs.
It should include the entire year.
I know. I think the Pro Bowl is stupid. I think that should wait till the end of the season to do that.
Yeah.
They do it in week 13 or week 14.
Right. I think that's dumb.
Right. They start
it should
voting
count the
like
whole
week
season.
Six, right? Or something like that. I don't
the
know.
Fan voting, yeah.
But it's a regular season award. That's the way it is in all sports, and I think that's right. I mean, it should be the regular season
I think where they ultimate goal is to make the playoffs and win a championship, that you can include that.
And if you choke in the playoffs, you're not an MVP.
Right.
That's my point.
I think he choked in the playoffs?
No. I'm not saying him in particular. I'm just saying if a player like LT, for instance.
Yeah, I wouldn't have not given it to him because of what happened to the Colts, but I just think as a rule.
No, but that you should take that into consideration.
So why don't you just say that it's the MVP of the best team?
It's not always going to be that.
Yeah, it is. If you're going to wait to the playoffs and give it to, and it has to go to a guy in the playoffs that wins.
I didn't say it had to go to a guy in the playoffs.
Well,
but
why are we waiting?
I think you consider what
you have to consider it. You have to, if you want to consider it, consider it.
Yeah, I think there's playoff awards for that. That's what the Super Bowl MVP is for.
Oh, the Super Bowl MVP is for one game.
That's not the playoffs. That's the guy who comes through in the playoffs.
No, it's for that one game.
It's for one game.
Larry Brown wasn't the MVP of the playoffs the year the Cowboys won the Super Bowl.
No, I'm saying there's an award for the Super Bowl. It has to be an award for the wild card in the division round, too?
No,
I don't think. The regular season awards.
In that 2 weeks before
the
Super Bowl,
he wasn't the MVP of the playoffs. He was the MVP of the regular season, much like Brady was.
You consider it all as a total.
Yes, I agree with that.
So Brady shouldn't have got MVP last year?
Why are you saying that?
I don't know. I'm asking your opinion.
I think he should have.
But
absolutely.
Why? Because
he was
great.
The MVP. It was great.
But two out of his three playoff games, he didn't play well.
It doesn't matter.
You have to take everything into consideration.
It's a one thing. You take the whole volume of work.
Well,
exactly.
Based on your thing, I'm not sure I would have given it to him.
Okay. Fine.
I think it's ridiculous. I think he was head and shoulders the MVP. I don't think it should even have been.
I just think you have to consider what they do in the postseason. And
I just don't understand why.
You're not voting
on the postseason. You're voting on the regular season.
You're voting on the entire season.
No, you're not.
Yes,
you're voting on the regular season.
No, I want you to vote on the entire season. That's what I'm saying. I don't want you to just vote on the regular season. You should consider the postseason, too.
Well, I disagree.
At least we're arguing about football and not salad.
That's true. Okay.
All right, guys, I'm going to head out.
All right, see you, Chris.
Stay with us.
Don't forget to talk to Dan on the way out.
All right.
See you, Christian.
All
right, Christian. Thanks, Christian.
I would have hung up about, at the time.
Yeah, he was on your side. What are you getting mad at him for?
I'm not getting mad. I just would have hung up. Alejandro writes
in. I just think it all gets down to everybody in New England hates Peyton Manning.
It has nothing to do with Peyton Manning.
But everybody does.
I felt this
everybody
way for a long time.
I heard two people upstairs talking. And
how about if Christian buys lunch Thursday? Is that all right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. That's fine.
Congratulating one Manning brother down. Now we got to get rid of the other one. And, I just don't feel that venom.
To me, I would be far more offended if Terrell Owens ever had any success.
Right.
Or Ray Lewis has success.
Right.
I can't wait for Baltimore to lose because I hate Ray Lewis so much.
But me, I just root for good games.
And I love Miami losing because of Joey Porter.
Joey Porter's another great example.
Why do you hate Joey Porter? Oh, he's
a big mouth.
How can you not hate
him?
Well, I don't hate him.
Well, consider who you're question to.
Because your head can fit.
And by the way,
mouth.
All the players agree to me. And your story about trash talking, they all love Joey Porter.
I was surprised.
Well, he's funny. He is
genuinely funny.
Right.
But I don't like him. I don't like
him. But he goes overboard.
The antics on
the field. He doesn't know when to stop like some other people I know.
But Merriman, I think, is different. Like, I've never.
Yeah, Merriman, I don't like either. Merriman's another idiot.
There's a lot of, Philip Rivers, I don't think is a particularly likable guy.
I don't like
guy.
Him either.
There's a lot of guys that I can understand why fans don't like.
Who does?
I don't know what.
Looks like a brat.
Spoiled brat?
Yeah. Besides the fact that they're omnipresent. They're everywhere, the Mannings. What have they done that is so unlikable?
No, I don't hate the Mannings.
But everybody else does.
Well, one Manning beat them in the Super Bowl.
No, but that's not why that people don't like them.
I think that is why people don't.
No, it's not.
That's why New England fans don't like them.
Well, why didn't they like them in 2001 when they hated them then? The Peyton Manning face is an old, old thing. We want to see the Peyton Manning face. This face when he puts his arms out. That's from 2001.
And he does have
They never beat us. Then, why? They don't. They hate the Mannings because... I don't know. I guess they're good.
I think originally Manning might have stole some of, around this area, field Brady's thunder. How can you, Brady's better, but Manning always gets the MVP. He always gets Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, there was a little bit of jealousy
for a while.
Right.
I think that's gone away now.
Now it's just hatred.
Right. Well, but I think now Brady's gotten an
MVP. Bill Polian.
He's gotten, the Super Bowls. How can you?
Bill Polian, Fred.
Yeah.
I understand why people hate him.
Right.
He's always whining. He's always kvetching about something. He's throwing some, security guy into a wall. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of items that you could point to Bill Polian to say why. Maybe Manning said that one thing after that Pittsburgh playoff game about the protection when they asked him 47 different times, and he finally said, look, guys, I think you saw what happened out there. Don't make me be a bad team. I'm trying to be a good teammate. That might be the one slight time that he said something that sounded kind of selfish. Other than that, I'm hard pressed to really come up with a lot of reasons why
I think people,
Peyton and Eli Manning are so
what's
hateable.
Up, baby? How you doing? Good. You?
I think it's just that they're the biggest Patriots rival right now.
What was that?
And that's why people don't.
That was another one of those
drop-ins.
I don't
clips
know what
that I don't know what
it's
they been are.
Manning.
In
but
what?
What is it talking
who?
To? Who about from? But I don't mind.
Who
I don't,
about from?
Look, I don't mind fans not like. He's the enemy. He's our.
That's
biggest,
saying,
one
but,
of our biggest
but don't,
rivals.
But don't you admit? I mean, I hate. You know how
I respect
I hate.
Him.
I hate the
of course,
Dolphins.
But
I hate
don't
the
think
Jets.
Fans respect
fans.
Mock him.
See, this
and
is
fun
my,
of
this
him
is
and
my
belittle
difference.
Him.
If this was if I felt this was just a competitive, I hate him because he's good on the other team. There's a hatred for him that I think far transcends the fact that he plays for the rival team. They hate Peyton Manning. And I think it's different than hating Joey Porter, for example. And you don't sense, I think Andy knows what I'm talking about. I hate the Dolphins. I hate the Jets. Always have, always will. There's nothing that those teams can do to make me stop hating them. But I never thought that Dan Marino was overrated.
Right. I had respect for Dan Marino. I love watching him. I mean, the guy was just an artist.
Tons of it. But I hated Marino because he was so good. Not
right,
because
right.
I hated the person,
that's why
but I thought he was overrated.
That's why I hated John Elway for a long time.
Same
he was
thing.
So good, he would always beat the
Joe
Patriots.
Joe Montana was that guy growing
that's
up.
That's why I hated Drew Bledsoe.
Because they were always
who
beating
did he
your team?
Yeah.
But
you respect guys like that because they
think,
can do it.
I don't think this is a hatred of just because he's a rival. I think this is a hatred because
think,
they don't think
I,
he's that good.
Yeah, I think they
all
think
you hear he, everybody
right.
ever talk about is he's a choke.
I think he's overexposed. You know, he gets more credit than he deserves, blah, blah, blah.
So you would fall in line with the fans.
No, it's not what I'm saying. I think that's what they're saying.
Now, the overexposed thing I think is legitimate because it happens to a
he
lot of people.
He is everywhere.
It happened
no
to
now his brother
Jeff Gordon
now.
Became like the face of NASCAR,
and people
he
hated
became,
him. Right.
You either loved him or everybody
well,
else hated
the drivers
him.
Hated him because he
no,
was
I know,
cheap.
But fans hated him because he was everywhere,
yeah.
And he was like he overtook.
Right,
you know, they thought the old school guys like Earnhardt or whatever should have more face time, and he became the poster boy for NASCAR. And Manning is the poster boy for the NFL, and a lot of, but he wants to be. I think Brady could be if he was open to more things.
I absolutely think Brady could be, but
he
says,
turns down a lot.
He says
he
no
has
to
a more
everything.
Like you know sculpted image than Manning just says yes
right
to all these things.
Up, oh, someone's at the door.
Hola, yo soy Iggy desde Madrid. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. How's that paella treating my amigo con grande cabeza? Andy, you suck.
I never heard that part of it.
Thank you, Iggy. Today's, courtesy of Eric, or in honor of Eric, I should
Egg
say.
Pie.
No. Birthday dump.
Oh.
That's birthday dump.
Oh.
And I can I read this?
Why do you look
don't
for him?
Don't ask him. He'll say yes to anything.
It's his show.
You
he's
really
the
shouldn't look for Fred either, but that's beside
no.
the point.
Well, that's what I want to say. Somebody said in an email earlier, insert word that Fred can't say. There's no word that Fred can't say. He says it all.
Right.
No.
And then he says, should I not have said that?
Not once this year.
A birthday dump is a poop that requires no toilet paper afterwards due to the fact that it left nothing behind on your behind.
Wow.
I have those. I call them sprays.
That's your thing.
You call them mistakes.
Oh, my God.
What? I call them farts. Oops, it wasn't.
Oh, man.
Back to football for a minute, if I could.
Football. Yes,
we talked about Teddy Bruschi.
About football.
Oh, you know who I heard from
son
over the holidays?
I'm stuck.
Email. Remember Rocky Rakovic?
Yeah.
No, and nor does anybody else.
Oh, yeah. Does he still work there?
Yeah.
Apparently, this is Paul and Fred in progress.
He has a
Rocky
brother.
Rakovic.
He has a brother that both listened to the
boring.
Shows. And for Christmas, unknowing to each other, they gave each other a subscription to PFW. So he emailed me.
The gift that just keeps on giving.
Sure. You, Paul, and the Rogochevich's care.
Shut up, baby.
Boring.
Rodney Harrison. Yes. Would not discuss. He worked for the NFL Network. Would not discuss his own situation.
Right,
and
said
had a
he
comment
will be telling
situation.
It on Moss later
to the New England
media.
Media.
Right.
But doesn't that kind of foreshadow something?
Yeah, I think he's going to retire.
Okay, that's how I took it because
I was waiting to see if Fred had.
Well, right,
you know,
because if you're going to rehab and come back, you
right.
don't hold like
don't
a,
press
a press conference,
conference.
To yeah. announce it. You yeah. announce your retirement.
Now you're setting expectations, and
so
you don't know how your rehab.
You read it the exact same way I did. He's going to retire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, is he going to be a
surprise.
Media guy?
Not a huge surprise.
You think he'll be a media guy?
I thought he wanted
to
be a ref.
Yeah.
I think that went out the window when he did some things.
Oh.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
you kind of need to be squeaky cleaned.
He doesn't want to stay around here and be a media guy.
What, Eddie Hockley? No?
Ed Hockley, yeah, no. I think he's good.
He say it. He got suspended for substance abuse. It's not like it's a secret.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being nice. He's your boy.
Just what's up, Paparillo?
We all make mistakes. Even
you're worried
boys.
You're going to start losing more? All yeah. these ex-players, oh, yeah. Lou Maloney,
Troy
Brown's
already cut in on
Rodney
the turf.
Harrison, Christian Ford. The Lou Maloney one hurts the most, though.
The Lou Maloney one.
At least
one.
Rodney Harrison is Rodney Harrison, and Troy Brown is Troy Brown.
Right.
Lou
right.
Maloney
right.
is Lou freaking
Brown. Lou Maloney not only couldn't play, but he has nothing to add on the air.
No, step it up.
Right. Can't wait until the next time he says, okay. Hey, Lou, what's happening? I really agree with you on that Hanley Ramirez thing.
You won't hear me saying I really agree with him.
Fraud Perillo.
That's for sure.
I hate Bill Simmons. See, Bill Simmons, the Super Bowl, Paul's got one leg wrapped around him while hugging.
I've never said that I hate Bill Simmons.
Chris, formerly from the Bronx, now from Stamford, Connecticut,
it's a block
says,
away while hugging.
He's sick on his couch today, and he's listening to us.
Who?
Lots to think. Chris from the
Maybe
formerly
paid
the Bronx.
Attention,
formerly
of
the Bronx?
Know.
Yeah, he's in Stamford, Connecticut. Now.
Oh, what yeah. brought him there?
Lots to think about for shut up.
Really?
Lots to think about
fat mouth.
He's selling it now.
Lots to think about for next year, but while most would agree that the defense needs help, what changes would you make on offense? For example, I doubt that the Pats will trade Lawrence Maroney, but this past December proved that they can be productive without him. So what do they do? Also, will they trade Benjamin Watson for a pass-catching tight end as opposed to a pass-tipping and or dropping tight end? I was wondering if you'd discuss any changes you'd make on offense and what you'd look for in the draft, all day two picks, of course. Lastly, if the NFL came out with a Patriots 2009 DVD, what should it be called? I can't decide between three titles, a perfect December, winning against the odds, or I have no formal artistic training.
I'd go with the latter.
the whole season? No formal artistic training.
I think they're going to take the best available offensive playmaker with one of the two second-round picks.
I think I really don't think they have a lot of holes on offense. I think maybe a third receiver.
I think they could take a tight end, a receiver, or a running back.
I think if there was a big tackle that was really good, maybe they take him.
They could use a right tackle.
They could use a young, a young offensive lineman.
Look, if I think there's a tight end that they like, they're going to take him.
If they like him, they shouldn't take him.
Yeah, because that hasn't worked out too well.
I know.
They probably will draft a tight end because they usually do. I just answered an Ask PFW and. You wouldn't believe the list, Fred.
Second day, did he say, or second round?
He said second day.
Second day.
Second round they take an offensive player, a playmaker.
I think a third wide receiver, I think, is lacking. I think they scored a lot of points this year, 413, if I'm not mistaken. But the one area that I thought that they suffered in is, I think, their depth at receiver.
Yeah.
Jabbar Gaffney was not Dante Stallworth.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Aiken was catching cat passes.
Yeah.
And did fine doing that.
Sam Aiken did the job that Gaffney did last year without the key. I mean,
right.
Gaffney had some big touchdowns.
Yeah.
But Aiken did all right in the fourth spot, but I don't think Gaffney was as good as Stallworth in the third slot. And
I think they might
need to upgrade there. They're probably going to have Thomas and Watson back at tight end.
Yeah. I think Jabbar Gaffney was exactly what we said Jabbar Gaffney would be with increased opportunity and playing time. He had more drops, he had key drops, and his plays diminished a little bit.
Yeah. He had
he
some
was
great
better
moment,
hitting and
no
missing.
Question.
Ba-boom.
He had some great moments, but
jab. See,
when he, see what you did there.
Al writes
Instead
in
he got gaff of the year by PFW.
Alfecto. He says, "What to do about Matt Castle? Feel free to top this, guys. But I would say the most reasonable sounding commentary I've heard so far about Castle was from Sirius NFL Radio Pat Curran, and it was the following." The Pats franchise Castle, then try to trade him outside the conference. The team on the other end would also, however, insist upon ripping up Castle's one-year franchise and renegotiate with Castle for more years. And Castle may be willing to do that if he likes the situation overall.
But if he does not,
he'll be more than likely to be happy to remain with the Pats as Brady's backup for one more year, figuring his stock will not significantly diminish next year, even if he doesn't play. So, according to this scenario... According to this scenario, Castle is holding most, if not all, the cards.
I think his stock would drop if he doesn't play. And he's also a year older.
Right.
Yeah, if he doesn't play at all in 2009, his stock would drop.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind.
Now,
too,
the rest of that is about as blatantly obvious as, I mean, that's pretty much what everybody...
pretty much talked about that.
But I also don't think Castle would be happy to stay here and be a backup.
No way.
He alluded to it in the post game in Buffalo when someone... If you remember, the Wednesday before, or Thursday, whenever he does his thing, he said, I want to be back in New England. I love it. Kind of towing the company line, and they've been good to him, all that crap. Somebody post-game said, you said on Wednesday you'd like to be back in New England. Obviously, that would probably mean you'd be Tom Brady's backup again. Castle said, now, I don't know what I said or didn't say on Wednesday. Like, it clicked with him. Okay, the season's over, or the regular season's over.
I got
to
start.
And now it's time for me to say, I'm a free agent, and I want to get paid, and I want my own team.
Mm. But the franchise thing, sign and trade, all that, that seems to be the most logical course of action.
Of course.
The only thing I would disagree with Sirius on that is I don't think it matters one bit to Bill where he trades them to. I think that he goes to the highest bidder.
Yeah. Preference would probably be other conference, but
absolutely. But I don't
think it's a third as opposed to a first. He's going.
I don't think
he'd
have any more fear.
I think one of the AFC's teams are going to have to give the Patriots more, but he'll do it.
But the highest,
If they're the highest bidder, they're the highest bidder.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think that he would have any more fear over Matt Castle coming back to hurt him than anybody else that he's let go. And he's let a lot of good players go over the years. This is not a Bledsoe thing, before you yell at me. He's let a lot of good players
Castle's
go
better.
To a variety of places, and I don't think he's cared one bit about it.
Oh, he didn't take it. Didn't take it.
Didn't take it at all. I'm proud of you, Paul.
A little barb must have worn off the hook. I couldn't set it.
There is no more authority on porn names and strippers, and he said that Eric's name should be Reed Velvet.
Reed Velvet.
Strippers. Does Adrian Peterson have a sketchy history in big games for Oklahoma? I'm wondering, just out of curiosity.
Not in strippers' eyes. You might want to ask John Rook or somebody who has a more.
I know Oklahoma's had some big losses in BCS games.
Over, aren't they?
They did win a title.
Yeah.
Strippers also says that Eric should buy a Snuggie.
That was just on.
Yeah. Is he watching the same thing?
Oh, by the way,
that's
super
the dumbest
putty,
thing I've ever seen.
The Super Putty does work.
Oh, God.
I'm not buying it.
But.
On what?
It's on anything.
For 5 minutes.
It's really not made for fine repair. Like if you don't want to see the crack. it's not.
Eric wants to see
it's
the crack.
Like the billboard on Route 1. Mr. Happy Crack says.
You like cracks.
But for big repairs, the thing...
A dry crack is a happy
crack. It does
crack.
Dry like cement.
Cleavage, maybe.
I mean,
does it work? Some things dry like cement and then break.
I don't know. It's too early to tell, I guess.
But why would you hung that thing up?
No, I used it to create a thing in the wall that fell down, and it's
on. So it's just a Band-Aid,
it's not coming off.
But that stuff I buy in a tub works, too.
I'm sure there's other stuff. I'm just saying.
What, joint compound?
Yeah, whatever, the pink stuff that dries white.
Hello.
Pink stuff that dries white.
You don't use that stuff? I don't know. Spackle or hole filler or whatever it is.
Joint compound.
It's bright pink, and then when it's dry, ready to be sanded, it's white.
Mm.
Jesus, I don't know what that means.
Why are you making that dirty?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous even for you.
Cock. It's not pink.
Now, that would have been funny.
Cock.
It's not pink cock.
That's what she said.
Pro cock.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition.
Why do you end shows 5 minutes early now?
It's 1:01. It's 2:00.
It's not.
It's 1:01.
It's 1:00. Actually, no. Actually, he's right.
Well, then we started at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because we started at noon on this clock.
According to my clock, we started at 12:02.
That clock needs to be changed.
So why
don't you fix that, Hi-Ho?
Straight up.
He's looking at a clock running on batteries, hanging from a piece of Velcro from the wall, saying, "That's the authority."
No, I'm just saying it's a 2-hour show, and we started at noon.
That's the authority.
All right.
Come up with these voices.
There were a lot of emails that we didn't get to. If you want to email us back again Thursday, we will try to get to as many. We thank everyone who emailed, everyone who called in.
Great job with the awards, guys.
We'll see you on Thursday.
Trying to remember all the way.